Radio 212, comm check.
DPS, go. Inco,
go.
PUS,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Booster,
go.
Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
So we're going to bring Chris on here, and then I'm going to get ready to roll out. Chris?
Wow.
Wow.
Like that, I've got goosebumps just thinking of the applications. If they come up with an Arduino version of that, they will make a mint. Not that they won't already make a mint with that technology.
The sensor, here's the thing, the sensor is this big.
Yeah, it's like it's like you got a Tic Tac in half. Like, you know, I got LEDs bigger than that, man.
And if it's got a 10-meter range with that small, then you just, you know, triple or quadruple the size and think about the other stuff there, and it's still small.
Think about the size of an array the size of a cell phone and what that could cover.
Well,
it could be drone carried for LIDAR, whatever.
That's a whole conversation for another place and time.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. They are definitely one of them that's on my list for my other podcast.
So for those of you that are thinking, what in the heck are these guys talking about? I encourage you to geek out a little bit and just Google millimeter wave radars and read up on it. And then you'll understand there's a lot of stuff that's publicly available that will make you go, wow. And to put
that one really made me go, wow. And like, I work a lot of high tech conventions. I see a lot of wow, you know, that's pretty incredible, man. That's pretty incredible.
So I'm going to get out of here. You got your guests ready. I'm Todd Cochran with Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com. I do a twice weekly tech podcast. Please come over and get subscribed to it. We've got all the places, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever your listening pleasure is. Go ahead and get signed up. Or actually subscribe to the show and join me in my 1500th episode this coming Thursday around 7:30 Eastern on my website. Chris, good luck with your guest. I'm going to get out of here. Everyone, we'll see you tomorrow here on continued coverage of CES.
Thank you, Todd. Take care. Well, hello, everybody. Chris Jordan here, host of the Talking Sound podcast here with the Tech Podcast Network and Geek News Central. GNC Week in Review, Plug Hits Live Radio. So glad to be part of this second year for me of CES coverage. And it's always amazing seeing all the technology. Like Todd was saying earlier, I'm usually on the back end of conferences like this, working them. And I get to see a lot. But man, it is mind-numbing to walk the halls of CES facilities and see what is out there and to see how many people were able to participate digitally this year, I think is really fantastic. So let's go ahead and bring up our first guest here. We have Marco with Ninu Perfume. How are you today, Marco?
Hello, Chris. I'm great. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to Digital CES. Have you had a busy day so far?
Oh, yeah. Very, very busy.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about Ninu Perfume, what it is, where the concept came from, and what you guys are all about.
Okay. So we are the first in the world to develop smart perfume. Inside the Ninu Perfume, there are three compartments with three different scents. For now, we've planned one family of fragrances for men and one for women. And types and notes are still being fine-tuned by our French perfumers. And the fun parts begin with your phone and your app, because you use it and you control it with your smartphone. So inside the app, there will be some suggestions made by professional perfumers, depending on the mood you're having or you want to have or you want to achieve or the place you're going to. So you can choose those, but the users will not be limited by them. So you can just make your own perfume, make your own scent.
Interesting. And,
yeah, so there's a AI behind this. It combines all the possibilities of perfumes and with different case uses to get the best recommendations. For example, If you, Chris, go on a date and after a date, Nino will ask you, how was your fragrance? Was it too strong or too gentle, or just you want to change the note? Nino will adjust the fragrance according to that date data. And the next time you're going on a date, it's gonna be the different one, the one you prefer. And after a while, Nino will be able to automatically make you exactly perfect fragrances for all your occasions.
Interesting. So is this a wearable device that is communicating with an app on your mobile device, or how does
this is a technology we've been developing for 3 years now. It was this was our goal, to make it as small as possible, so it's portable. You can take it with you everywhere you go, and Nino can recommend what kind of a scent you should put on, which one is more convenient for your business meeting, or for going out, or going for a walk, or so on.
Wow, very interesting. Now, how does the wearable itself, is it like rechargeable cartridges? Is it various scents that it mixes together? I don't want you to give away too many trade secrets or anything like that, but I'm always fascinated with how technology like this works in order to adjust your scent on the fly, things like that.
Yeah, so it's like a cartridge system. We want to be more eco-friendly, of course. There is a lot of waste made by beauty industry, by perfume industry. And our system is cartridge, like I said, and when you use it, you just replace it. It's 100% recyclable, so you just buy another one. And we want to it's you buy just one perfume, you own one perfume. Now you have like, I don't know, 5 or 10 of those, and you usually use just a bit of one and a bit of the other one, and you get used to it, or you don't like it anymore eventually, so you just leave it there. You know, it takes your shelf space, and it's waste of money at the end.
Yeah, well, yeah, precisely. You end up, because I know numerous people that have the typical cologne or perfume collection in their private facility, you know, where it's just they've got numerous colognes or numerous perfumes, and I think that this really comes down to solving that, like you were saying, less waste, less money spent, things like that. Speaking of which, one of the things we always love finding out is price point, availability, things like that. Is Nino a product that we can go out and buy now? Where is it available? Where are you looking for release? What's the price point on this?
So we're still waiting for some details about the production. Nino is not being sold right now, but we are planning to go firstly on crowdfunding, which will take place in March. And we will, for our first backers, we will offer best price possible, definitely. And we want to engage with people. We want to engage with perfume lovers. We want to modify our product according to that. And we're gonna launch first a crowdfunding campaign, and we're planning to go in a production in the middle of the year and start sending probably in November.
Well, wow. March is pretty short order to be premiering now and, you know, bringing all this out. Is this your first CES?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Good.
It is.
Good.
And we got really, really good feedback. We've been working like every day on Friday. We were here in this office for like 18 hours. Working, preparing everything for the media, preparing emails, and then we wanted to go home like after like 10 hours, and then we sent all our emails around, and then started getting feedback immediately, and we just couldn't go home. We were so excited, just like writing emails back, and it's crazy. We're having interviews every day, and we really, really got good feedback. So we love this show.
Well, I think, you know, especially when it comes. Hello?
Hey, I'm sorry. It's Kirk. Sorry. I was going to say I'm the one who sent the email because I was interested in having them come on. So I'm just.
Oh. There you go. It was our producer, Kirk, there. But yeah, whenever you're talking about health, beauty supplies, things like that, to see forward-looking people like y'all is always very interesting. So one last time, let everybody know where they can go to find out more about Ninu, where they can go to look for the crowdfunding launch, things like that coming up in March.
Of course, Ninu, they can get all the data and all the updates and news on our website, ninuperfume.com. They can follow us on we're everywhere, on Instagram or Facebook, Twitter, wherever you will find us, no problem, because there's no other Ninu Perfume, and we're looking forward to engage with everyone, and we're looking forward to having some feedbacks from everyone.
Well, Marco, thank you so much for taking the time today out of what is obviously a very busy schedule for you guys at your first CES. Congratulations. Good luck on the upcoming launch and crowdfunding. We hope to see you next year with a booth at CES. So take care. Have a great rest of your CES 2021.
Thank you, Chris. It was a pleasure. And yeah, hope to see you next year in Las Vegas.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I see that we have our next guest ready, Larry Johnson with Fluo Labs. Let's find out a little bit about them. Is Larry there? Ooh. Larry is a pinwheel right now. Well, maybe not. We'll see if Larry is available here in just a second. I know that there's always some fun stuff whenever you're dealing with things via distance. So you never know what's going to happen with somebody's computer or internet or anything like that locally. That is what live is all about. And
she says she's on.
Oh, okay.
But we don't see her or hear her.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
Well, Amory, can you come out and then come back in and see if that works?
We have seen some fantastic technology today on the show just so far, and we're only a couple hours in. Yesterday was chock full of fun stuff. I know I'm still having fun with my X pointer that I got last year as a sample from the good people at Choi Technology, and man, it is a game changer. I cannot wait to see what they do with their crowdfunding now that they are released. Oh, looky here. We have our guest from Fluo Labs with us. How are you doing today?
Hi. So I'm substituting.
Okay.
Anne-Marie Kovacs. I'm head of strategy.
Hey, how are you today, Anne?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Well, tell us a little bit about Fluo Labs, what you guys do.
Well, actually, do you guys have allergies? Any of you?
Me.
In on your team? Seasonal allergies, hay fever, ragweed allergies? You do? Oh, that was your answer. You do have.
Me?
Yeah, really bad?
I do.
Okay. Well, so we're actually reinventing how people are living with seasonal allergies, and we're doing that through our device that uses light therapy to treat these allergy symptoms, and we do it drug-free. It's a drug-free application.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Now, I'm somebody who stopped taking allergy shots years and years ago. I still have a couple of seasonal things that happen here and there. How are you guys managing to do this with your technology?
So, well, as you know, light is what keeps us alive. And light therapy has been around for a while, but really the new technology part of it started about 20 years ago. And we have a team of light scientists that really took all of the right formula, the right wavelength, dosage, and all of that to create the right light to help prevent seasonal allergies. So basically what hay fever is that it's inflammation in the nose, right? This whole nasal cavity. Yeah. And our light and red light in all different forms is known to reduce inflammation. And sure, that's what allergy symptoms are. So, and I have our dummy device here, and I have a beta prototype that we're testing right now. And oh, wow. Basically it's short pulses of light that you would put in your nose. Let me demonstrate. I didn't do it yet today. Like this. Oh, wait, I have to, this one is very kind of rough. It has an external battery. The actual one will be super sleek. And so it uses these pulses of light. So it's about 6 seconds per nostril.
Wow.
And I could do it on the other side. But basically what the red light does is that it reduces that inflammation and, you know, prevents the histamines from coming out, and you should be good for about 12 hours.
Wow, that is a pretty long-lasting therapy to be able to get just from light pulses. What was it that led y'all to come up with this technology and start working on it to begin with?
Well, we were into skincare zit-zapping business before and sold the company. We were already aware that there were some really top-level scientific clinical studies being done around light and allergies, and we wanted to dig deeper. And it took our team a while to really come up with the right formula for the light, and then getting the patents and having a pivotal trial. And now we've engaged with the FDA to get the FDA approval.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. So y'all are already going through that process, everything else.
Yes.
Sounds like you're pretty far along in development. How long have y'all been working on the Fluo Labs project?
So it's been about 10 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Quite a bit of time in development then.
Yeah.
That's quite a good amount of time for R&D. What have your use cases been with this so far?
Well, you know, with the FDA, this is always pretty complicated. You're not supposed to get it out in the field. Sure. But we've had some friends and family use it, and we have to pry it out of their hands when we need our unit back. Yeah.
All right. Well, those are always good things to hear, especially whenever, because, you know, we see a lot of health technologies at CES, that kind of stuff. And it can be hard because you can't necessarily make medical claims. And yet still you can't get FDA approval without medical claims. It's interesting. And I love seeing emerging technologies like this. I love seeing new applications of technologies like this. There are, of course, light therapy beds that you can lay in for sleep therapy, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But to see it being used in this right is really, really interesting.
Right. And one of the reasons we are going for the FDA is that we want to be able to make these claims. We don't want to kind of go around it like that, because we could be out as a wellness device. But we know that this is going to be so life-changing for so many people that we want to be able to present it in the market and really say what it does. It's so powerful.
Yeah. It is, like I said, really incredible technology to see something so portable, something so easy.
12 seconds, you don't, drug-free.
I was one of those kids. Like I said, I outgrew quite a few of my allergies. I still get hit a couple times a year by stuff, especially traveling as much as I did, going various places around the country so rapidly. I noticed that some of my allergies kind of started coming back. But yeah, I used to take 2 allergy shots a week as a kid.
And you know, as we get older, it doesn't get better.
No, because allergies technically come from exposure. So,
well, with climate change, things are just getting worse because, as you know, the allergy seasons are getting longer. Mm-hmm. So there's much more pollen and irritants in the air. So,
yeah. Well, that is pretty amazing. Tell everybody, is this a market, a device that is already out on market? Are y'all looking to go to crowdfunding anytime soon?
So our go-to-market is that once we do, well, actually, before we launch and as we conduct the clinical study necessary for the FDA approval, we will be starting with community and content marketing to really raise awareness, but also to talk to this audience that, you know, we feel, and you must feel the same way, that allergies really don't get respect. It's a trivialized condition, but for some people, it's so debilitating. They can't go to work. Yeah. Children can't go to school or study. You know, there's the whole cognitive impairment. So we want to really address that with a community with value added information, tips and tricks before the product is on the market and start building that buzz. Then we will do crowdfunding. Again, we really want to get this unit in people's hands because we know that once someone has it, they won't want to let it go. And after that, we'll be ready to go to market. But we really need to conclude this, get our FDA approval, that stamp.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard with medical devices to go anywhere without that, beyond a direct marketing campaign, anything like that. So,
but it will be sold direct to consumer, so no prescription necessary.
Oh, fantastic. That is great to hear. Well, where can people go to find out more about Fluo Labs? Where can they go to find out more about this amazing device?
Oh, thank you. So it's fluolabs.care, fluolabs.care. And you can go on Instagram. That one is just fluolabs. And it's fluolabs LLC on Facebook and on Twitter, I believe. So we have fun updates. We have really good, really interesting videos that we created to explain allergies, to explain photobiomodulation, which is the light therapy, and explain how it works.
Well, fantastic. It's so great to see people out there, like I said, leveraging technology that is kind of existing for other fields already, and to see it being reused, see it being reapplied into new areas is fantastic. So thank you so much for spending your valuable CES time with us today.
So appreciate it. And thank you for helping us spread the word.
Absolutely. I believe we have our next guest in studio already. Hello, Tony. How are you today? Tell us a little bit about Future Seating.
Good afternoon. Hi, I'm Tony Maslisch. I am the CEO of Future Seating, parent company to X Chair. It's a chair I'm sitting in, and Mavix Gaming. And we are thrilled to be at CES and happy to be on your show.
Well, fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the X Chair, Office Chair, and the other things that y'all do over there at Future Seating and Mavix Gaming.
So our, you know, as the name signifies, we are really all about not just where seating is today, but where it's headed. So both X-Chair and Mavix share a technology called dynamic variable lumbar, which is actually, it's this, I don't know if you can see it, but it's this piece that moves with you as you move. So it adjusts to the body. And then we also, with X-Chair, we were introducing at CES, a product we introduced about 60 days ago, called XHMT, stands for heat and massage technology. And so we've introduced heat and massage into that dynamic variable lumbar area. And then with Mavix Gaming, again, actually a brand new company just about 90 days ago, trying to take the traditional gaming chair and kind of turn it on its head. So
yeah,
we have these products that we are doing currently, and we're constantly thinking about where seating is headed, how it's going to change with some of the changes that have occurred as a result of the pandemic and people working from home, and also changes that are occurring as gaming is becoming more of a sort of core piece of what people do day in and day out.
Sure. Well, and not only that, but I think just as people and industries start to turn more toward the digital age and start to turn more toward home operation, that kind of stuff, you know, even myself, most of what I would be doing walking around a convention center is now done sitting in a chair and navigating people in the digital world, you know.
And that's a great example. You know, if you think about just in terms of your health over the course of a year, right? If you're used to being on your feet, walking around, and that's tiring walking around a trade show, but it's good for you because you're moving and you're working your muscles and you're working your lungs. And, you know, one of the, I don't know if danger is the right word, but as a result of people, when they work from home, tend not to get out of the chair as much. You know, a lot of people say, hey, I work more hours, I'm more productive, but you're stationary and you can do everything from a stationary spot. So one thing we try to incorporate into all of our seating is motion. We have a little acronym called SLAM, which stands for seat depth, lumbar, angles, and motion. And you really want all four of those things to be working favorably for you.
Okay.
But the greatest of those is motion. And so you want to be in a chair that requires no effort to recline or come up. And our chairs are able to be fine-tuned to do that for you. So that, using your example, you know, if you can't walk around, at least you can be in motion where you're sitting so that you keep your blood flowing.
Yeah, precisely. Because, I mean, even that, like, I do a lot of editing, things like that, as you can tell.
That's
basically what I do, is I sit and I edit and I edit and I edit, whether it's websites or code for people or video or audio. So I am sedentary. If I am not, like over the last year, of course, since COVID's happened, my watch screams at me whenever I wear it, because it's like, hey, pick it up, guy. Sorry, I'm not getting 15,000 steps before lunch. You know, I used to walk 10, 15 miles a day across convention centers, you know, so and push things and pull things and load trucks. So, yeah, I got plenty of exercise. And now I notice a few things in my lower back that I wasn't noticing that used to be there that were gone because of regular exercise, because of regular getting up and moving around. So to know that there are chair solutions out there. For people like me, people who sit and work, program, who live your life sitting down at work, is fantastic. Tell us a little bit about what inspired this creation to begin with and what sent you down the journey of making this chair.
So I've been in the I started off actually in the back store business about 25 years ago. And as part of that business, we've been selling office chairs for 25 years and have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, really seen everything since the beginning. What we noticed early on is that most manufacturers of seating traditionally were focused on companies selling to HR managers, selling to facility managers. They really weren't focused on the consumer. So we had a ton of experience built up actually interacting with consumers and finding out what they liked and what they didn't like, and discovered that this combination of really active lumbar support as well as being in motion were kind of the two key things that people needed in order to feel comfortable in a chair for a long period of time. So we started manufacturing about almost 6 years ago now. and really tried to design a product that, and the DVL is really the core of it, although we have all kinds of ergonomic adjustments on the chair, including adjustable headrest and adjustable back height and things. But try to design a chair that would do what you're describing, give people that support, and then also do it in a way that was easy. So the thing about the DVL is that it adjusts to the user as opposed to the user having to adjust it. So if you hop up and someone else sits in the chair, it's still comfortable for them. And then fast forward 5 years, the heat and massage, it really kind of grew organically. We had actually a vendor at CES who was pitching heat and massage, not connected with a chair, and that kind of sparked the idea. And so we started development about 2 years ago and really zeroed in on how could we make this a core component of the chair, and discovered no one's done it.
Yeah.
And then tried to figure out, okay, how do we make it so that it's battery operated and you can, move your chair around because you don't want to be stuck to the wall, but also then gave you the ability to charge it either using your computer or using the wall. And it's been, I'm using it right now. Like I almost can't sit in a chair without it now because, if you use it together, part of the key is heat's great on its own. And the massage, we don't have rollers like one of those big massage chairs because the chair is a pretty sleek piece of equipment, but it's a vibration massage, which stimulates you and gets your blood flowing while the heat also relaxes your muscles. So the combination just feels awesome.
And just out of curiosity, is it on right now?
Yeah. So here, I'll show you.
Wow. I'm just curious because, it's on.
The red light is the heat and the blue is the
that's incredible. That is incredibly quiet. That's pretty fantastic. Cause I mean, as an audio freak, that's one of the things that drives me nuts is hearing something like that while I'm trying to edit all day. So the fact that it's, I'm sure, pretty silent. You're on a laptop microphone. If it was going on, you'd pretty much be able to hear it, just like a fan in the background. So
it's funny.
That's some pretty incredible technology.
It's funny you say that because we had our first prototypes were too loud, and we took them to a few dealers, and they said no one's going to buy this because it's too loud. And so we had to work really carefully on dampening the sound. So.
Especially when you're talking about. Programmers, gamers, things like that. We're persnickety about such things. If it doesn't like, and that's the funny thing is that most office chairs are just made with more padding to be more comfortable or more padding to pad your lumbar. And I'm a pretty tall guy. I don't fit in most chairs. I mean, even the chair I'm in right now, I bought a longer extension rod.
A cylinder.
It would be higher up for me because otherwise I'm sitting with my knees at my hip height and trying to get up from that after programming for 3 hours is just horrifying.
How tall are you?
I'm about 6'3", 6'3 and a half. So, it's pretty hard for me to find a chair that fits me properly. And yeah, it looks as though your chair would be right up along those lines. Where can people go to find out more about this? Is this obviously a chair that is on the market right now that people can buy at big box stores or online?
So not big box stores, but two different companies, X-Chair and Mavix. X-Chair you can find at a lot of specialty retail stores. One chain is called Relax the Back. And then at some design stores and other kinds of retailers, furniture retailers, and then also at typical office furniture dealers or office supply dealers. But primarily, you can buy it directly at xchair.com. So we have the full selection. We make it very easy. It's in stock and ships the next day.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
And then Mavix is only sold through mavix.com today. We are looking at various gaming retailers that we will probably begin to sell through sometime in 2021. We actually have our first test retailer in Houston But for now, it's available at mavix.com. Similarly, in stock, like our whole concept as a company is we want to meet the consumer where they want to be met. And so whether that's through a dealer or through buying online, whatever's easiest for them, they want to get it yesterday, right? The reason people buy from Amazon Prime, they want to know it's coming right away. So everything is in stock and ships right out.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Tony, for taking the time. I will definitely be in touch to find out where I can get my own chair. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. You have a great rest of Digital CES 2021.
You as well. And we'll figure out how to hook you up. Thanks.
All right. Fantastic.
Bye-bye.
Man, I love hearing about things like that that are made for people of odd sizes, made to fit the person that is sitting in it uniquely, not just made out of a mold. It's great. Our next guest is ready. Fantastic. Let's go ahead and bring them in. We have Stephen Schoenwald here. How are you today, sir? Tell us a little bit about GXC Education Platform, what it is, and how you guys came about developing it.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. So what GXE is a learning management system, and it's designed to eliminate the widening education gap through what we call frictionless video learning. And what something frictionless is, for those that aren't aware, is something that is intuitive and works right the first time and every time thereafter. And further, we try to address several pervasive problems with e-learning, which disproportionately affect the poor, dispersed, and non-native speakers. And we do this through a variety of proprietary, patented, and patent-pending tech. I founded the company along with my fellow co-founder Case Western Reserve University graduate, Robert Horomarski. I ended up studying management and getting my MBA. And afterwards, I worked in a number of areas. I was working as a clinical engineer at Cleveland Clinic. I was on the localization team of a popular Japanese video game. Worked as a project manager for Fortune 1000 companies, and actually became a sideline technologist for the NFL, ensuring seamless audio and visual playback from the sidelines. I was able to apply all of that into developing this learning management system. And I think that having that type of background in media and engineering has really helped a lot, because education's always been a passion of mine. And I've definitely realized, as I'm sure you're aware, how unsustainable the cost of education is, and it looks like it will continue to be. And that's something that I thought was very important to address, making sure that students would be able to get access to high quality remote education at little to no cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with everything going on right now. I find it really interesting the way that you are leveraging these other technologies from your past experience to create this user experience specifically, which it seems like it really very much is. It's almost a user experience way to translate education.
I would absolutely say so. And I've tried to work in a variety of fields because of what has interested me. I was able to spend a lot of time in a medical setting, so I understand the needs of earning CME credits if you're a doctor or a nurse, and I've been at those types of events. My work on localizing a Japanese video game into English, that has allowed me to understand how subtitles and translation systems work, and actually help to influence something that we have patent pending at the moment for our translation system to help international students, the non-native English speakers. Being able to work with video and audio tech for the NFL has helped too. And understanding the needs of various companies working as a tech consultant, it really has all helped to focus what we're trying to do and make something that someone with just a traditional background in education, let's say, might not have been able to conceptualize.
Yeah, precisely. And I, what because I come from a family of teachers, and I love seeing educational technology. I myself have my own little experiment in the room next to me, my son, who is about 3.5 years old. And I love, I've done my own work in the teaching field over the years, and to see the way that he learns, and to know how I learned, and the fact that I was a hands-on learner. As long as I could touch it and move it and manipulate it, I could learn it all day long and repeat it. You give it to me in a book, maybe not. But it just, it trips my wife out to see him with an Amazon Fire and a game that he just got and know how to operate it and find things. And I'm like, you understand that there are people just like you, Stephen, who specifically write these things so that they are universally understood by the brain.
Yeah. And you know, getting something that one of the things that we've really focused on is being able to make this learning management system something that is intuitive, able to be used by non-technical users. Because from what I've seen, that's a big thing that trips people up. There's there's a number of LMSs out there that might be able to do a number of things, but are they really practical? And for the things that need to be done, do they work as intended, or do they end up freezing? Do they end up having problems? We want, that's why we say frictionless video learning. We want it to be perfect every single time. And really what helped inspire me, as I mentioned, I didn't have great experiences with learning management systems when I was attending university. I had, there were all of these supposed features that they had, and I had professors that would just dump a whole bunch of files into a folder. And as the course was going on, you'd say, oh yeah, reference such and such file. And you had to search through everything. It just wasn't a positive experience. Sure. And at the time, there weren't good video tools for, be it for live streaming or recorded video as well. So this is actually something that for a few years we had been trying to develop even before the pandemic came around. And once the pandemic hit, it was amazing. Everyone just was trying to find some sort of a platform that could do the things that we were already focusing on previously. So we had to pivot a bit to change from more pre-recorded stuff to live streaming material. But I mean, everyone in this space had to pivot to some degree. But we're really excited about, because we've really been focusing on changes for a while, even before the pandemic came around.
Well, what's interesting, though, even as you were talking, I saw two different use cases where you could literally take, because I work a lot of conferences, I work a lot of medical conferences, like you were saying, where doctors specifically have to come in, take classes in order to maintain certifications, that kind of stuff. And to be able to use it not only in that realm, but in the realm of standard everyday education, and to be able to have intelligent software that can give the same curriculum but a different experience depending on how you learn, depending on how you actively use the machine, you're going to get the exact same material delivered in a different way that helps you learn better. That's phenomenal, especially whenever you're talking about schools, things like that, where that one-on-one time that used to exist with a teacher, things like that in a classroom, where a teacher could go like, oh, look, Chris is a tactile learner. If I can adjust the curriculum just that much for him, he'll be a better student.
And
to be able to have the software do that for you is fantastic.
Yeah, I know that you mentioned that you are someone who's a hands-on learner. I'm very much that way as well. And that's one of the advantages of being able to utilize tech like what we have with GXC. The instructor has a variety of different ways that they can talk to individual students or talk to the class as a whole. And we try and facilitate, even though it's remote, communication between different students. For instance, students are able to share notes with one another as they're watching lectures, refer to them after the fact. The instructor is able to share notes with the class as well. And each note that is shared has a timestamp on it and is searchable both for that specific class and for the entire class as a whole. We actually have a fairly robust course-wide search system so that if, let's say, someone's studying for a quiz, exam, or a final, and there's something that they had trouble on, whatever it might be, they could search for that term, and it would not only search through your notes that have been shared with you or your own personal notes over the entire semester, wow, but also a transcript, not only in English, but in other languages.
In your native language.
Yeah, you could actually search for it in your native language. You'll see everything that mentions that term. And if you click on the timestamp that's right next to the search result, it will load up the video at that exact point at the beginning of the sentence so you could start learning exactly where you need to.
That is absolutely phenomenal. Tell everybody real quick before we let you go where they can go to find out more about the GXC education platform, where they can come to contact you, perhaps get this going in their education system, be it with their business, what have you.
Certainly. First, I would suggest you go to mygxc.com, mygxc.com, or you could email me directly at Steven, S-T-E-V-E-N, at mygxc.com. We're undergoing trials. We are ready to work with, be it schools, public, private, school districts, any organizations or self-help groups, again, hospitals, stuff like that, anyone that needs to have to give their employees or students some sort of an educational component. GXC is wonderful for self-learners and for certification type materials. I would be happy to work with you to come up with something that works for you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We hope to see you again next year at CES. Take care and have a great rest of the conference.
Much appreciated. All the best to you.
All right. Wow, man, such incredible opportunities out there for people that are trying to get custom learning experiences. And like he said, frictionless learning experiences. We do have our next guest ready, Matt Crowley, CEO of Signal Cortex. How are you today, sir?
Good. How have you been?
Oh, doing fantastic. How's your digital CES?
Very different from being in person. I miss going to all my favorite spots in Vegas, but you know, it is what it is. We're all staying safe.
Yeah, I'm a Ghost Donkey fan myself. I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's one of the secret hidden bars over in the Aria complex. It's got like 100 different types of tequila. Great stuff. Oh, awesome. Check it out. It's like a little treasure hunt trying to find it. Well, tell us a little bit about Signal Cortex. What you guys are all about and what you do.
Sure. So I guess a little bit of background on me. Prior to starting this company, I was the CIO for Philadelphia Airport and Cleveland Airport. So I was used to dealing with kind of very large organizations. You know, you had facilities where 100,000 people would flow through each day, almost like CES, right? You have a lot of things going on, a lot of complexity. And there's a lot of things that happen in the background done by the frontline employees, whether it be mopping the floors, trying to move chairs around, direct customers. And the systems that are built for these large enterprises to manage these tasks are extremely complicated. I like to joke that it takes a lot of steps to mop a floor. Imagine if you're a janitorial worker and you're trying to clean up a spill. A lot of times you have to carry around three devices and you have to fill out a 30-line questionnaire when you're done so that you have an idea of the task you're supposed to do. And then management can make proper deployment decisions for employees. So the whole ecosystem for getting things done in enterprise settings, in large organizations, at conferences, is extremely complicated. So at Signal Cortex, we've developed a system that streamlining tasks to staff members and getting the results back to management so they can make better decisions. Our first product, which is being launched on the 31st, is a simple app on a phone. You can use commodity Bluetooth devices right now, and it converts simple tasks that employees are supposed to do to audio-based messages. So essentially, if you have to go deploy to a facility to take care of a task, instead of having to fiddle with your phone or go on a radio, you can get notification of a task that's going to be done. And if you do choose to use your phone, it's a simple binary operation instead of tons of steps. I like to give an example. Operations staff at an airport, and I won't name the airport, but there was an incident once where you had an employee that had to go fix a light on an airfield and ended up causing $1 million in damages because they had to get that information on their tablet while they're in a vehicle. Right. So employees have to get tasks done and get things completed in order for operations to run smoothly. But it's really hard to do that. So we simplify that process.
Wow. And, you know, even considering my own industry, which is the corporate AV field, you know, typically setting up AV and running the AV for conferences like CES. It's interesting that you're coming at this industry and this logistics solution from a different situation, because we're typically walking down the hallway, something like that, we're pushing a cart full of stuff with three people pushing things behind us, and we get a call on the radio. Yep. You know, and it's like, hey, Chris, what? Well, I guess Chris isn't there. No, Chris is here, his hands are both occupied right now is the problem. Interesting solutions. What was it that, I mean, obviously it was your experience working in the airport, things like that, that led to the creation of this technology, but what are some of the other ways you're looking at leveraging this and getting it out there into the market?
Absolutely. So we actually, because of COVID, we had to pivot when we started. And to the previous guest, we worked with Case Western as well. So I'm an alum from about 10 years ago. We went through the National Science Foundation I-Corp program. So when we figured we couldn't sell to airports, we actually went towards building service contractors. So they are commercial companies that you might call in after an event to clean the facility up, or after you need nightly work to clean your facility or office space. In that industry, we targeted it specifically because the current solutions in the market were really hard to use. So again, you're carrying around multiple devices. You're expected to be a mobile expert or a computer expert in order to just relay what you're doing. And they have a very specific problem in that industry. They lose half of their customers every year because of bad data, either employees not getting their tasks or not saying that they're done, and the customers being dissatisfied with service. So we actually focused on that industry first. We have our first customers in that space. But ultimately, I see this both as a business and a consumer play as well. When we prototyped, it was actually for consumers. I was driving around and wanted to listen to tweets and news that came up and didn't want to touch my phone. So we would summarize the text and it would go to my ear and I didn't have to touch a device.
Cool.
But, you know, while I would love the long term on that, the short term to get the company going, get revenue in, was let's focus on the B2B solution. So that's what we did. We focused on commercial cleaning companies, and we're solving a very pointed problem for them right now.
And that's fantastic. The fact that you can come in, like you said, with the consumer concept and yet still provide an enterprise solution for people. How long have you been in development on this? Because like you were saying, you were one of the people that worked with Case Western, things like that, a decade ago. How long has it taken for you to get to this point where you're at right now? And how long are you looking at before ultimate launch into a marketplace and regular availability for people?
Sure. Yeah, my co-founder Bill Wickert and I started the company in May. We were stuck in our offices during the pandemic, and my background is software development, so I said, why not? Started writing a prototype. We signed our first enterprise contract in December, and that's going live, and we officially launched publicly on the 31st of January.
Wow, fantastic, man. Now that's what I'm talking about. People using the pandemic to properly motivate themselves. Cause I found distribution for my music over the pandemic. Like, I've been looking for that for 20 years. I just didn't have enough time to focus on it. You went out and started a business. and landed an enterprise client. That's the kind of stuff that makes pandemics worthwhile, horribly enough, you know, where you can literally have enough time to devote on one thing long enough to be able to deliver a product. And what an incredible short turnaround for you. Amazing stuff. I will give you one tip before we find out from you where people can find out more information, where they can go to get their own enterprise solution. And that is Freeman. Freeman operates most of the docks around the country, things like that. If you've got stuff coming in to the convention, which I'm sure you know, having been to CES, other conventions, things like that, I'm sure working in an airport, you're more than familiar with Freeman. Yep. But they would be a fantastic company to contact with this technology. It would be really, really great. I could see like 28 ways the vendors that I work with would be able to integrate this stuff with Freeman. There might be a fantastic source for you.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, obviously Freeman, if you're listening,
yeah,
get a hold of me. And if you want to know more, signalcortex.com is the website. Like I said, right now, you know, we're in the BSC market, but it's broadly applicable technology. And again, we're here to make it simpler for enterprises to, operate smoothly and, make sure that you keep your customers happy. And last note, that millimeter wave radar solution you had on previously was absolutely fantastic.
Isn't that just nerdtastic stuff, yeah, man? I was like, my mind was just racing with possibilities. And the people that I know that play with Arduinos, like I said, if they, they're all drone people, stuff like that. When you're talking about drone technology, that kind of stuff, it would be incredible, especially for like drone swarms, the way that they're using it for displays now, stuff like that. So just, yeah. Mind-numbing stuff that you get to see at CES, including solutions like yours. Thank you so much for taking the time today, Mr. Crowley, for spending your most valuable CES time with us today.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Absolutely. We do have our next guest in the studio. Nudge Systems is on with us. Marcello.
Come on. God,
my Italian is horrible. Sorry, DeMargo. Sorry,
Camargo. That's it, Scott. Yes. Very good.
How are you today, sir?
Very good. Thanks for having me here, and I hope you're having an interesting and different CES this year.
Yeah, it has been interesting, but you know, like I've said a couple times today in the chat room and live on air, as a live AV technician, I think that this is probably the most CES that a CES could get, because we're having to all actively leverage technology daily to make CES happen.
We do.
So it's like, if that's not what CES is all about, I really don't know what is.
Exactly.
We've all had to find a technological solution to make this happen for ourselves. So, with that in mind, let's get into a little bit about Nudge Systems and what you guys are doing for water conservation in homes and businesses, things like that.
Very good, Scott, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about that. It was interesting. I come from a background of instrumentation and measurement, and my partner and co-founder works in the water utility industry, and several years back now, back in 2014, we experienced it comes and goes very often in California, those droughts. And we were talking about it, and I was playing with, you know, home automation and creating related equipment and instrumenting my home. And Anna, she was talking about how difficult it is when governments and utilities ask people to conserve water, and people don't really have that intimate relationship with water and know exactly what to do to make an impact. And then that's when we start thinking about coming up with a solution. We believe, and we noticed this gap in the home automation market that was related to water conservation, and we but we also saw that people would be interested in helping and doing their part in conserving water if they knew, if we gave them actionable information. And that's what we did. We came up with this, with PLECO is our device here to help with that. Nudge Systems is the name of a company that we came up with, that name to nudge people into this conservation mode and help them take the steps to do what they wanted to do and didn't have the information to go about. So I can tell you a little bit more about the product itself. The what we did is I show you here what we came up with. It comes in this interesting container here. It is there are several ways that you can measure water coming into your house, but most of them are very difficult to install. You either require a professional plumber to come in, or you require expensive setups, or some of the ways to do are just not practical. So we came up with what we call our water watch. So you take this water watch and you simply wrap it around your existing water meter, and it stays there reading, and I'll show you a little bit more detail how to do that when I share my screen. But basically, it measures water flow into your home from your existing traditional 100-year-old technology water meter.
Interesting.
It measures the flow rate from there, transmits home. This is a battery pack. Typically, these things are far away from outside of your house, under the sidewalk, with a metal lid cover in a concrete box. So it does require a specific radio that we developed to transmit this information out. Inside your home, you can see the information either through a little screen that can, it serves as a gateway to the sensor and to your Wi-Fi. And then from there, you can get it on your phone. So what we do, we measure water flow in real time. And we developed also you can see this information on your screen or on your phone. But we also developed the algorithms that measure this flow and recognize patterns on it. And with that, you can tell where this water is going. You can tell if it is going on a shower, on a faucet, on a flush, on irrigation, or other usages. So it is very interesting when people, and also it can detect leaks. That's a very important application for it. So people can see that in real time, categorize information, and change the way they relate with water and understand where it goes and how they can what they can do to conserve it.
That's really interesting because, like you said, most people, I mean, even myself, living here in Texas and especially in Austin, it's one of those that on occasion, especially after major storms, we'll be on a boil water notice, things like that. To know where your water is being used in your house and where you can conserve it is fantastic. You know, it's great to set like a timer, you know, like, hey, take a 5-minute shower instead of a 15-minute one, you know, that kind of stuff. But to actively see where it's being used, what is the range on your devices of right now?
So it is installed in most homes. I'm also in Texas at the moment. I'm in the near Houston area. Homes here typically have the water meter outside of your home. So we basically developed it to reach 50 feet under any conditions. But if the conditions are favorable, we can go much further than that. So,
I mean, of course, my first thought being from Texas was cattlemen being able to use this on troughs, things like that across their property, you know, to be able to measure their water use from across their property without having to go out there and check on it.
Oh, it's true.
Being able to use it in with vineyards are very big in Texas now, being able to use it in orchards to measure your water use and change the water use as necessary. There are quite a few different industrial applications for this as well.
That's right, Scott. And then that the range is much more, data transmission is much easier, right? Particularly when you have an open or line of sight possibilities. And it's interesting that when we talk to people using it for the first time, people come with interesting feedback. For example, they think that their dishwasher machine uses a lot of water because they can hear that water being splashed around for 30 minutes. But that's just one load that comes in and keeps moving around, and then another one to rinse it. So that's not the big culprit. But when people see, for example, what happens when you have irrigation going on for too long or misadjusted, in some places I've seen people with large homes with a swimming pool that didn't have the water filling system correctly adjusted, and they were throwing water away. And they only know when they get a several hundred dollar bills at the end of the month. So
precisely.
Much earlier.
And especially whenever you're talking about homes in states like California, that kind of stuff, where they are under regulated water watch. Same thing in Arizona. This is really a fantastic device to be able to put into your home there that, like you said, requires zero installative knowledge. You do not know how to have to use a monkey wrench. You do not have to know where your water valve is to cut it off to install this.
That's right.
You don't even have to own a water key to go cut off the water in your front lawn. In case people didn't know that that was a thing, that's a thing. So what an incredible device. Tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Nudge Systems, where they can go to find out more about how they can start conserving water in their own home today.
Very good. The best way to look a little, to look more into it is to go to www.nudgesystems.com. There you can find information about the device. You can have a demo of the application and see how it works. You can have you can play a little bit with it and figure out how to install. We have installation videos, and we also have all the social media accounts from LinkedIn to Facebook, and you can, if you look for either Pleco or nudgesystems.com, you will find it there.
I love the name Pleco. That is absolutely fantastic. Named after the sucker fish that cleans aquariums.
You got
that,
it. Because
it looks
name.
Like a Pleco. It's fantastic. It's great. What an original name. I absolutely love it. Restaurants would be another great place for you to start checking out. So thank you so much for taking the time. This is an absolutely incredible system. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
Very good. I thank you for the opportunity, Scott. And maybe next year we can do this in person somehow.
Absolutely.
Nice to talk to you.
Enjoy the rest of Digital CES.
Thank you.
That is just great to see things coming out. Like I said, that you have to have zero knowledge on how to install, how to use anything like that. It's really incredible to know that the world of, I guess that would be almost like a home wearable, almost a home device that you can use as a wearable inside your house for your home itself. And to know that all you have to do is put that little Pleco device underneath your existing water meter, and it will start intelligently figuring out where your water is going and how much you're using. Really, really incredible opportunities there. So, and to see the technology that is being leveraged in all of this kind of stuff, whether it's the smart learning, the frictionless learning platforms that we saw earlier, things like that, or what we just saw with them, absolutely incredible. We do have our next guest in the studio right now. We have the CTO from Wisest, William Littlefield. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of this digital CES with us today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. And I'm also speaking to you from Texas. Instead of down in Houston, I'm speaking to you today from Dallas.
Oh, wow. My old college town itself. Irving, actually. But, you know, it's all Dallas.
Absolutely.
That's like saying Katy or Houston. It's just Houston. So tell us a little bit about WiseZest and what it is that you guys do over there.
Absolutely. So what we're doing at WiseZest is we've created a next generation investment trading platform that is a little bit like fantasy football. So basically with WiseZest, the idea is that a lot of people that are interested in investing, many young professionals recognize it's a key part of wealth building, might find it complicated, intimidating, or even boring. With WiseZest, the idea is instead of having to pick stocks or bonds or financial instruments directly yourself, like you might with a Robinhood, you can invest directly through financial experts and build your own team of financial experts, kind of like fantasy football.
Interesting. And how is it that you guys are gathering this data? How is it that you guys are able to team up investor with investment person?
Absolutely. Great question. So basically the way that the platform works is anyone can join WiseZest as an investor. So anyone, you yourself, anyone walking on the street, anyone attending CES, can go to WiseZestApp.com, download the app or sign up for our closed beta and get early access. And basically what happens is once you're onboarded to the platform and you've provided a little bit of information, shared with us that maybe you're interested in investing in renewables, technology companies, or minority-owned businesses, basically, we'll take those preferences and gather all of the financial experts on our platform and arrange them into a leaderboard for you to peruse. And then once you've found a couple financial experts that you like, you can dig down into their individual profile, see exactly what's in their virtual portfolio, their investment strategy. And from there, at the click of a single button, you can actually replicate their entire portfolio on your behalf.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty incredible and powerful technology. How long have you guys been developing this? And is it something that is available out there right now?
That's a great question. Yeah, so WiseZest is a company that is almost 2 years old. The CEO and founder, Axel Thibone, is a alumni of MIT Sloan, and half our team comes from MIT. We have been working on the product, like I said, for about 2 years, right around when we began investigating SEC and FINRA compliance. And since then, we've been full steam ahead on building out the two sides of the platform for both experts and investors. And is currently available at WiseZestApp.com, where you can gain early access to our closed beta. So we do have the product live right now, and we are onboarding batches of users that have signed up as early access.
Wow, that is really, really incredible. Now, what is your, just something that I have to ask, what's your security looking like, things like that? We're talking about investment in the modern age, of course, and, you know, that has to come with a certain realm of security, one hopes. Even things like Robinhood have had their issues in the past, you know.
That's a great question. And you're exactly right. And trust and reliability are two things that we've certainly established as key to building the company and building the product. Personally, my background is as a payments engineer at Visa and at credit card companies. So I'm personally very much used to handling sensitive financial information. And so we built the entire application with security and encryption in mind. If you want to learn more about it, you can visit our website and see our privacy policy and our terms and conditions, which talk very specifically about those considerations. You'll also see them when you sign up for the first time as a user.
Now, speaking of signing up as a user, let's go through that process just a little bit. What does it take for somebody to onboard into this?
Absolutely. So with WiseZest, we have two parts of the platform. We recognize that with WiseZest, the idea of investing directly through financial experts is a little bit different than say, picking stocks and bonds. Now, we believe it is more intuitive, and everyone feels comfortable judging whether or not they trust people rather than whether or not they trust an abstract stock. But that being said, since it's unusual, We actually have a free simulator environment where anyone can sign up and play with the platform and see their performance without risking any real money. Then from there, they can upgrade to a production account and actually execute and trade and replicate their portfolios within the financial markets. So all it takes to sign up for the free simulator is merely your first name, last name, a username, and password.
Wow. Wow. And how is it that investors go about being a part of your platform?
Absolutely. So when we use the term investor, we just mean investor in the sense of anyone on the platform. So that could be you. That could be, again, anyone at CES, anyone that wants to download the app and actually invest in different financial experts. As far as how financial experts join the platform, of course, again, because we want to harp on trust and reliability. We are only accepting at the moment people that have a Series 65 or Series 66, people that are chartered financial analysts, so CFA charter holders, or last but not least, experienced portfolio and fund managers with a history that we can verify.
Wow, that is fantastic to know that you guys are putting that kind of due diligence behind this platform. Once again, really incredible technology to be leveraging to allow, and we even had somebody comment like, wow, trading like fantasy football. That's awesome. You know, I mean, just to know that you're bringing it, because even when people get Robinhood, things like that, like my wife tried it for a little while, you really do kind of have to have an idea of what you're wanting to invest in, where you're wanting to take a portfolio, what a portfolio is even, you know. And without a financial advisor, that can be a little bit hard, and it can be really intimidating to find a financial advisor that you trust to begin with.
That's exactly right. And so the digital experience that we were encountering was, well, at least for myself, my own investing journey was I began by downloading apps like Robinhood and wanting to trade and use tools like that. And it is great that they're free, but if you don't have any financial expertise, or you may not feel comfortable picking things on Robinhood. And so then you go down to a J.P. Morgan Chase or try and contact a Charles Schwab. And a lot of their wealth management services simply aren't available to people that are young professionals, people that might not meet their capital requirements. So they basically say you come back in 10 years.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And so you don't have $15,000 sitting in an escrow account right now.
Exactly.
We really can't do much to help you. You know, and it's really interesting, because even to find somebody like you're saying that can help you do wealth management, when they look at what you have to begin with, it may not be worth them working with you.
What we're trying to do at Wisest is democratize access to financial expertise.
That is a great way to put that in less than five words, which I am all about, man. If you can have like a five word tagline, that is where it's at. And to know that you guys are doing this, where are you looking at taking this platform in the future? Because I can see a few different branch offs, you know, that you could have, a few different ways that you could leverage this platform in and of itself. But what are you guys looking at adding on to it? Mm-hmm. Things like that.
Absolutely. So in terms of bells and whistles, the two priorities that we have are increasing the gamification features on the platform, adding more contests, rewards programs. Obviously, that's gotten Robinhood into some trouble in recent news. That being said, we are working very closely with our legal counsel to make sure we stay on the right side of those features.
Sure.
But in terms of the other features we want to build out, originally, Wisest was an application where you could invest solely in different kinds of human financial experts. What we want to do in the future is we've begun onboarding some of our first robo-advisors, which are proprietary algorithms we built at Wisest, with some of our banking expertise in-house. And what we're doing there is basically, as far as we know, we're the only platform today where you can invest simultaneously in a human financial expert and a robo-advisor in a single click.
Wow. That's really cool. And you know, you could almost, you could almost pit them against each other.
That's what we do. We put them on a leaderboard and we rank the robo advisors just against our financial experts as well.
Wow. And even to be able to sell that algorithm, to be able to leverage that algorithm once again in other fields, to be coming up with this technology to begin with is pretty incredible. And how long has the development in this AI for the robo-advisors, things like that, been going on?
That has been going on with some of our partners for several years that have a background in developing AI algorithms for trading. Luckily, within the family of the MIT Alumni Network, we were able to connect with some other entrepreneurs that have been exploring AI in financial markets for a long time. I myself wrote a graduate thesis on artificial intelligence, and so I had some of the tools to integrate that into the platform right away. So we're basically, it's something we've been working on internally for only about a year, but we're able to leverage a lot of the development effort, which has been going on for many years, through some of these partners.
And how have these digital brains been learning? How has their evolution been coming over a year?
That's a great question. So obviously in artificial intelligence, there's lots of different ways to teach these algorithms. You can have rules-based systems, expert systems, and then, of course, the more inference-based machine learning or neural networks. That being said, these different robo-advisors we've been building out do use different strategies and do come from different partners. So we are interested in trying to see which of those works best by just seeing the performance of those algorithms in the long run and, again, putting them on a leaderboard. So we do have different algorithms or different approaches to building those algorithms. But at the end of the day, the end user is going to care about which one is delivering the most value.
Interesting. And, you know, like you were saying, the gamification within the system is one of the attractive things for people that perhaps are not used to trading. Right. Because, of course, that's some of the game in and of itself for the people that are trading is that game. But how is it that y'all are, I don't want you to give away any trade secrets or, like you said, put yourself in any holes without ladders, so to speak. but what are some of the ways that you guys are looking at incentivizing action and reaction within this platform?
Totally. So one thing that we do at Wisest is we're 100% focused on trying to make sure that all of the incentives on the platform motivate experts to benefit investors. And so two things that we do are, again, trying to simplify everyone's ability to analyze the different options for investment. Rather than showing you all of these maybe esoteric financial metrics about a financial expert, two of the ways that anyone can quickly understand whether or not this is a good financial expert is we give them a 5-star user satisfaction rating. So that's something everyone can understand in today's age. And then we also have a 5-star rating for risk. And so those two metrics do actually have traditional financial metrics behind them, sort of under the covers. But by simplifying that to a 5-star rating for our end investor users, it's much easier for them to navigate those different choices.
Yeah. And it really does limit the playing field, at least what they're going to see rapidly, which whenever you're talking about other things, you know, just tends to go a little crazy, you know, kind of like whenever you're online shopping, there's so many choices, you get stymied. So
exactly.
Sometimes, yep. When you can limit those choices, it's a little bit better.
Who has the best reviews? Who's investing in the stuff I care about?
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell us once again where people can go to find out more about Wisest and these services that you're providing.
Absolutely. So they can go to wisestapp.com. Wisest App is also our handle on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And so it is wisest app.com. And then if you want to download or become part of our early access closed beta, we have a great sign-up page where that's very easy to join.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. Tell us everything that you guys have been developing over there at Wisest.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Take care. Have a wonderful rest of your digital CES.
Cheers.
Absolutely. Man, really, really cool stuff. Just to see the way that people are leveraging AI now. One of my favorite things to do on the road was working the NVIDIA conference every year. and seeing the way that they were using video processors to process AI and run AI algorithms, that kind of stuff. And to see what they're doing to further ease people into the world of investment is really great. So I love seeing people leverage technology like that. It's been awesome seeing all the stuff today with the digital CES. Like I said, really interesting to be leveraging the digital platforms that we are to even produce this show and to do what we would normally be doing in person. I think it really is, like I said, as CES as you can get to be doing so. So very, very interesting stuff. I'm trying to see, let me refresh my little tab here to see if we have anybody. Whoop, nope, not yet. So we've got a little while. I myself had a great time at CES last year, roaming around, checking out all kinds of fun stuff. There were the robotics that were there were absolutely phenomenal. Everything from automated drones that followed you around and took pictures to, sorry, just got a message on the private chat there, folks. But yeah, it's been really interesting to see what kind of technology has come out of this CES. And there's been a lot of health technology. Once again, just like we had last year, there seems to be a large growth in that market. There's a big growth in the home health market, especially now with COVID. We are seeing a lot more technologies involving UV, involving like the one that Todd was interviewing earlier that that had the film, the antibacterial screens, things like that. I was having the conversation with somebody yesterday about the fact of, yeah, you know, you use all of these products in the bathroom to clean your hands and everything else, and then you still have to go touch the doorknob to get out. And that's why they came up with automated doors, was one of those reasons. So to see this technology, even like what we saw earlier with the allergy light that you use to help block histamines with light frequencies, to see technologies being reapplied into new fields is really fantastic. The AI learning that the gentleman was talking about earlier, the seamless learning technology, being able to take a learning experience and transfer it from person to person and personalize that. Just really, really amazing stuff. So it's great to see forward-looking inventors, forward-looking programmers, people like that starting to get together. Even, for instance, the instant communication that we were talking about a little while ago, where those guys started their business in May, like shortly after they were locked down from pandemic. So to see them having written a program, come up with a service, already have enterprise customers, and be launching it to a larger market within a year, and be premiering at CES, you know, it's just phenomenal to see what some of the development with some companies has been during this time. And whereas some industries have been stifled because engineers cannot get together, because product development happens a certain way, and if you aren't in the same lab knocking heads and knocking ideas around, products don't necessarily come about as fast. There are some things like that, software, coding, that kind of stuff, where when one person can have enough time, just unabridged, to do it, they can accomplish something almost monumental in a very short amount of time, because they've just got the dedicated time to be able to do that. And it's been really interesting to see over this pandemic time, what businesses have been able to pivot like that, what businesses have not only pivoted, but actually found new markets because of this, markets that perhaps they were never considering, never looking into. To see the realm of innovation that has come along over the last year and so many things, not only my beloved AV industry, but the tech industry, so many other businesses, so many other people that have realized what they can accomplish when they have the time to do things at home, when they have that unabridged time to be able to focus on something. We do have our next guest in studio, actually, Isabel with Fauna Audio. How are you today?
Hello, I'm fine. I've been listening to your podcast for the last 2 hours, I think.
Oh, wow.
And it was really, really interesting. So I really enjoyed that. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are all a bunch of tech heads on this show. So when you're like, hey, yeah, you know, we want to bring you a bunch of people with a whole bunch of products to talk about new stuff, we're like, okay, that sounds cool. So tell us a little bit about what you do over at Fauna Audio and
sure.
what you're all about and what you're exhibiting at CES.
So what we exhibit here is what I exhibit on my face. So we produce audio glasses. So you probably heard of the Bose audio glasses, and a couple of other companies that came out with their audio glasses. We have actually been working on this idea for about 1.5 years now. And with all the things happening in the world, we of course had a little bit of a delay, but we have actually started making our market entry in Europe and starting in the US this month, hopefully, probably. So we're very excited about that. And what our product actually is, as I said, this thing here, audio glasses. And what we tried to do is, I will show you this briefly, is we tried to design something that has slimmer temples and that is not as heavy and bulky as some of the other audio glasses around. So that is why 1.5 years ago, we got together with glasses designers, eyewear designers. We have our own technology in there. So we come from a background of audio technology. We've actually developed the first MEMS speaker, first MEMS micro speaker, and that is one speaker on each side in here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so we make the audio module. We had the glasses designer design some very nice shapes for us. And yeah, we've been working for the past 1.5 years on bringing all of that to the market. And maybe what's also special is that we have this fancy little charging case here. So instead of plugging cables or wires or anything into your glasses, what you do to charge is you just pop your glasses
awesome.
In here.
Awesome.
And they have these little charging pins here in the sides. So at the hinges, we have our charging contacts and it just charges on the go. So this thing also acts as a power bank, which is pretty practical. And that is very quickly what Fauna is and what it does. So as you can see, you can use it for conference calls. You can use it for listening to music. I personally love it for working because I guess many people know that you're in the office. You have your headphones or earphones in and somebody says something to you and you just don't hear it. So the classic scenario is you sure. have one earbud in and one earbud out and it's not very satisfying. So
yeah,
this
yeah.
is like my now, favorite thing.
As an audio engineer, as you might be able to tell.
Yes.
I'm
going to pull up my tech sheet, so just in case.
One of the things that I would have to ask is, are they Jawbone technology?
Nope, they're FreeField Audio.
Okay. Explain the difference there for our audience, for those who may not know.
Yeah. So we get to ask this question a lot, actually. So the difference is when you use bone conduction, you have something sitting very snugly on your skull, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that sends vibrations through your bone, and that creates the sound, very simply explained. And what we have is, we have here, I don't know, maybe let's see how good my camera is. So what we have here is these little meshes, and okay. Underneath that we have our audio module, and that produces the sound. So it's a classical tweeter, that's our technology, and additionally a woofer. So we have a nice frequency bandwidth.
Okay, and how audible is it to people around you?
That's something that we're very proud of. We have developed a dipole configuration, which means it directs the sound pretty much to your ear. So if it's a very quiet room and I have my glasses on full volume, people around me will hear that I'm listening to something. But like now, for example, if my partner, who is already asleep, as it's very late here in Austria, if my partner were sitting next to me, he wouldn't hear anything of what we're talking about now.
Okay. Now, one quick tech question. Are you using them right now?
Yes, I am. I hope the audio quality is good. Otherwise, I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do they have microphones built into them too for conference calling? So that is the microphone that we're hearing right now from the from the glasses. That is pretty good. Like, as somebody who does podcasting a lot, that's some pretty good audio.
Thank you. I'm glad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a while to develop that.
Well, and what I love about it is the noise canceling that's there on the microphone. I'm not hearing a lot of stray noise in the background, things like that. So pretty crisp, pretty clear. What is the audio range of those headphones? Is that a 20 to 20K?
Wait, let me just look that up just in case so I don't say something wrong. So the frequency. Yeah, you know, I'm not an audio engineer, and I want to be careful.
I got to ask before I get a pair.
That's good.
That's all.
So our frequency bandwidth is 150 hertz to 20 kilohertz.
Okay. Okay. Not bad at all. So a little bit of natural bass range, roll off, stuff like that, but to be expected with something that's not in ear or over ear fully. So,
of course. So I got to say, if you're looking for these like really good basses, you're not going to get that with the
But I mean, most of that, and most of that is accentuated to begin with. Really, whenever you're wearing like 20 hertz headphones, something like that, like what I have, you're mixing music. So it's a totally different purpose than going out jogging or listening to your podcast while you're working, things like that. I guess one of my last questions that I really have to ask is, as a prescription wearer, do you have a prescription option? Is it something that you can get lenses for it?
So currently what we ship as a standard are these blue light filter lenses that I have in here now. You probably see the blue light reflected a little bit. Mm-hmm. We also have two models with sunglasses, so sunglasses lenses implemented. But as all of the front here and also the tips of the glasses in the back is just acetate, so what you know from normal glasses, you can basically go to any optician and tell them, hey, I got these glasses, would you please put my prescription lenses in them? And from the opticians that we've worked with, they say pretty much any diameter, anything you need in terms of prescription lenses is possible.
Wow, fantastic. And what styles are they available in? Styles, colors, things
so
like that?
So we have these two We have these cat eye models, and there is this one and a sunglasses one. And I have here, let's see that I don't throw everything around. I have here this model that is the more rectangular one. This is the sunglasses model. Yep. And of that, we also have a very, very stylish and fancy blue light filter model, which is our best seller at the moment. So everybody wants that because it has the Havana design, this turtle shell design, and that's something that's just super en vogue at the moment. We are working on more designs and more colors.
Fantastic. Yeah, I have seen these advertised, and at Christmas I almost pulled the string on a pair. and it was like, I don't know yet. But I'm starting to see more of them, and I've been pretty impressed with some of the near field earphones that I've heard. Aftershocks, of course, things like that are out there in the market. We have people popping up on our chat room right now saying that, like, yeah, they look amazing. Like I said, as an audio engineer and someone who podcasts regularly, got some amazing audio on that microphone. Tell everybody where they can go to find out more, where they can go to order their pair. Are they available out on market right now? Is it something that they can get on Amazon from your shop only? Let us know more.
So at the moment, we are still selling everything via our web shop. So that is wherefauna.com. So wherefauna.com, just as in one word. But we are currently, so keep your fingers crossed for us, we are currently preparing all the shipments for Amazon in the US. Also different Amazon platforms all over Europe. So Austria, Germany, Italy, Sweden, I think, is on the list. But basically, you can get them on our website. That's probably at the moment the easiest and fastest. We'll also be available in retail stores, but with all the lockdown going on in different parts of Europe, at least, it's a little bit hard at the moment.
Yeah, it may be a minute or two before you can see them on a shelf, but definitely that's available via digital order. What is the entry point on those as far as price?
So right now they're selling at, I think in US dollars, it's $299. Okay. In euros, it's $249.
Wow. Not horribly expensive for a pair of over-the-ear, especially discreet headphones. And man, if you could especially work in like a hearing assistive app for the elderly, something like that, where they can just even use the microphone that's on there to be able to, through an app, turn it up, turn it down, things like that, you'd be into a whole new market really, really fast.
That's something that's, I mean, it's not on our like short term roadmap, but it's something that we get asked a lot and something that we are really thinking about, because you could use the microphone to enhance the voice of the people that are talking to you, which is a really, really, really awesome use case. So we are looking into that.
Well, and that's just it. Most of those devices focus on everything, whereas that would be very directional, directly where you're looking. So amazing, amazing use cases for that. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on. Wherefauna.com?
Yes.
Fantastic. I'm glad I got that right. Isabel, thank you so much for taking the time. Have a great rest of your digital CES.
Thank you. You too. And keep making great content. It's really, really enjoyable.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much. We love hearing that. Man, such cool stuff. I'm telling you, when it comes, last year walking around, I had seen quite a few people, on job site, things like that, over the last year or so, with Jawbone headphones, things like that. And of course, there had been Jawbone microphones by Motorola, that kind of stuff for cell phones. But when you're talking about wearables like this, really cool stuff. Coming up next, we have Sjoerd. Is that correct?
It's a very Dutch name. It's Sjoerd.
Sjoerd.
But it's there, so Dutch, so no worries about mispronouncing it. Absolutely no worries.
How are you today?
I'm good. Yeah,
fantastic.
Thanks.
Enjoying your digital CES experience?
I am. Yes,
good.
I am. Yeah.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about Tover and what it is that y'all do.
So what we have is, it's called Tover Tafel, and that means magic table. And it's a game system for people with severe cognitive disabilities. And our most well-known product is the magic table for people with late-stage dementia.
Oh, interesting.
It's a box about this big that we mount in the ceiling in a care home. And inside the box is a projector and sensors and computer hardware. And we project games on the table, the normal everyday table that's already present at the care home. And you play the games by touching the projections. So, for example, we project autumn leaves on the table and you can swipe them away, or yeah. there's a beach ball that you can bounce towards each other.
Okay. Okay. And I've seen installations like this at numerous places. I travel a lot. I've seen them in airports, you know, mm-hmm. in children's play areas, that kind of stuff. Yeah. You see them in malls all over the country, just like by the entrance as you walk in, where it's like, why is it? Whoa, it's like I'm walking on water and there are ripples going on.
Exactly.
And yeah, like I work SAP Sapphire every year, and they had a big installation like that a year or so ago, where it was like LCD panels that you were walking on and were interacting with you as you did it, with visual mapping. And the technologies that you guys use to accomplish this with digital mapping, things like that, what are y'all used? I don't want you to give away anything proprietary, of course. of course not. But what kind of technologies are y'all leveraging to help make this happen?
Well, the technology itself is not really that new or that advanced. What is so amazing, if I can say myself, about our product is how we've designed the actual games, because we're focusing on people with late stage dementia. And these are people that lose the ability to activate themselves. These are people who live in care homes. If they don't get any stimulus from somebody, they will just sit in their chair and do nothing. And they will get bored, and they will get depressed, and they can even get apathy. Sure. Apathy is the total lack of feeling and emotions, and it's actually the number one cause of death amongst these people. And what we do is our games are designed in such a way that you only have to use those parts of your brains that won't get damaged by Alzheimer's. So that's how we know how we can reach people, even in the last stage of their dementia journey, the last phase of their lives. We can reach to them, we can activate them again, and we can get them out of apathy, and we improve their quality of life.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, like you were saying, the apathy is where things really come to an issue when you're talking about elderly, the lack of interaction.
Yeah.
And the motivation to do something.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And especially now in these COVID times, it's harder and harder for care personnel to activate the residents of their care facility. That's where we come in.
Now, how long have you guys been out there? What are your use cases right now? Are y'all out in facilities as we speak?
Yeah, the company started 5 years ago, or 6 years ago already. We are now active in 12 countries, and over 5,000 care homes are using our product right now. And we just launched in North America. It's not the official launch yet. That's in springtime, but care homes can now place a pre-order so that they can be assured that they will be the very first in North America with a magic table.
That is incredible. Now, what is the size factor of this table? What is the like operating distance, things like that?
Well, the box itself, it's I'm so sorry. I'm not very good in inches. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Centimeters is fine.
Oh, wonderful.
Bigger than a bread box.
It's about the size of a bread box. Yeah.
Okay.
And it comes with a ceiling mount. So you just mount it in the ceiling just above the dining room table. And it doesn't really matter the height of your ceiling or the size of your table, because the projection fields itself, it's adjustable to the size of your table. And there's a nice projector inside with a wide angle lens inside, so you can cover probably any kind of table surface from any normal ceiling height.
Okay. So about the size of a standard office projector, nothing crazy.
Yeah, a bit bigger, because there's a casing around it and everything, but okay. Not much. Yeah.
And is it something that has to be connected to a computer, or is it all one proprietary device?
Yeah, everything is inside the device.
Wow, yeah. That is pretty incredible, because I know a lot of the systems have to be wired to other things, other places. All you've got one sensor that's going to the computer, then another that's going to the projection system,
Yeah, no, we try to make this as, and I mean this with all respect, but to make it as care home friendly as possible, so that all the care workers, but also if family members come visit their loved ones, you know, they can just get the remote, just switch it on and have a go.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. And that barrier of technical entry is really huge, because the last thing you want to do is have a training meeting with a bunch of your staff. Hey, we got this new thing. And hey, if we're going to use it, guess what? Here's the process that everybody has to know, which is immediately going to decline its general usage in the environment, you know? Yeah. Like when there is a barrier of learning, that means that, like, hey, we got to train these two people this day. We got to train these two people that day. So when it's something as easy as turn it on, menu boots up, select your game, you're done. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we worked very hard to make it as easy to operate as possible. For somebody like you and me, we're not scared for some buttons and some remotes and some extra technical stuff. But for a lot of people, it's still, just like you say, it's a barrier to enter, a barrier to use it.
A couple of quick questions. We got about 3 minutes left in our interview here. Number one, what is the barrier of entry cost wise? Is there a consumer version? Like a home version, or is it business to business only?
No, right, we really focus on care homes, memory units, long-term care facilities, all that. So it's really a business to business product that we have.
Okay. Yeah. That's always one thing that I'm curious about, and especially whenever it comes to things like this, because, you know, when you're talking even beyond elderly care homes, special needs care homes, in the same right, you know, with people with mental disabilities, things like that would be a fantastic use model.
Oh, definitely.
For this product,
we have suits of games for various people with different kind of cognitive disabilities. So we do have a whole suit of games for people with a learning disability. We are study, because everything we do is backed up by science and clinical neuropsychologist research. So right now we are studying what we can do for children with a disability, for example, children with an autism spectrum disorder.
Sure. Anybody on the autism spectrum, ADHD, ADD. Like I said, to start incorporating these into preschools, that kind of stuff, where every kid gets 10, 15 minutes of time a day, would be invaluable learning tools.
Definitely. And it's physical. You have to move around to use it, to play it. It's not just sitting passively in your chair and just watching the screen.
Tablet or something like that. You know, absolutely. Well, once again, tell everybody before we let you go where they can go to find out more about the Tobertafel. Did I say that correctly?
That's amazing.
It's been a while since I visited over there in the Amsterdam, but
all right.
I remember I had to say a couple things.
When the lockdown is over and you're here, let me buy you a cup of coffee.
Oh, you bet.
Or some other stuff that we sell here, but maybe that's not something to talk about.
Things that we cannot talk about at CES.
No. it's called Tover, T-O-V-E-R. Tover.care, Tover.care.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on, talk with us, and expose us to this amazing product that's available for care homes, things like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Take care and enjoy the rest of your digital CES.
I will. Thank you very much. You too.
Oh, most definitely. Man, you know, things like that. I have friends that work in the projection mapping world, and to know that all of a couple years ago was when they started launching a lot of the auto tracking technologies that are out there right now. If any of you are familiar out there, I'm a big, if you can't tell, big time comic book nerd. The Marvel stunt show that started traveling the country a few years ago was one of the first shows in the country to really start exploiting this projection technology live. where they had interactive, quote, holograms that were put onto scrims. All the actors wore tracking modules on them, and had spotlights and projectors that were specifically tuned to them, so that in the middle of a stunt show, if you had to get out of the way of a motorcycle, let's say, that was coming past you, you didn't miss your spotlight cue, you know, because, like, hey, if you're not on that spotlight, the spotlight operator won't hit you right. So what they had was individual cameras on spotlights watching these motion trackers on the actors. So whenever they moved left, their spotlight intelligently moved with them. And they always had a backup spotlight that was following. Just absolutely incredible technology. So when you're talking about using this tracking technology that has become much more commonplace, even last year, walking around, seeing some of the 3D tracking stuff that was available for hospitals for kinetic use in physical therapy in settings, things like that, to be able to track muscular movement in a live real-time environment. Absolutely amazing. And to see that these guys are leveraging that same technology to help people with Alzheimer's, other mental ailments, other situations, like we were saying, learning disabled children, so many different use cases that stuff like that can be used for. And if you're enjoying this technology that you're seeing right now, folks, if you are enjoying everything that we have been doing here at CES, make sure to go on by the Tech Podcast Network. That is where you can find all of the content from the shows that have been hosting this, myself, as well as Plug Hits Live Radio, GNC Week in Review, Geek News Central, all that good stuff. We're so happy to be able to provide this coverage for you guys. Stop on by there. There's donate links, all that kind of good stuff. It's that kind of stuff that makes this possible. So make sure to stop on by, subscribe, like, all that good stuff for Tech Podcast Network and the shows on it. It's great to see what those guys have been producing and putting out, and to know that they, year after year, this is only my second year to be involved with the coverage for CES. But with my experience in broadcast and everything else, to see how these guys do it, it is so on point. It is so fantastic. So it really is some fantastic, great coverage that they provide for this entire event, as well as Roboticon and all kinds of great stuff. So if you like techie things, nerdy things, geeky things, toys, coding, what have you, stop on by today. Tech Podcast Network is what you're looking for. Tons of great content over there. Thank you guys for always supporting and for bringing us out to events like this, for bringing me out to events like CES. I live in the world of tech, as you can see right here behind me, and to see some of the stuff that's being released in my world. One of the things that I saw the other day that had that had crossed my path in my emails, like Todd was saying earlier today, typically he would be getting like couple thousand emails a day. And that's, you know, a little bit slowed down. Granted, even last year, it was one of those, I was garnering 100, couple hundred a day. Even though it was my first year there, and sure, that slowed down a little bit, but to see the technology that is exhibiting, to see that technology that is still coming out, despite the pandemic, the fact that people are still innovating, still pushing, still bringing new things into the marketplace. To go back to what I was saying a second ago, the email that I got that was really interesting was a new fiber optic gimbal. If you don't know what a gimbal is, it's basically an arm like this that you put a camera on that, you know, gets your crane shots and all that kind of stuff. Other than drones, that's how you get like nice sweeping shots going up a cityscape in a movie, that kind of stuff. And this was one of the first fiber optically controlled gimbals that would offer zero latency between joystick control and action. which when you're talking about control in a movie environment, that kind of stuff is, you know, you get used to a certain kind of control whenever you're operating robocams, pan tilt zoom cameras, that kind of stuff, where there's an anticipation of I'm going to move my focus, and it's going to, as I turn, it's going to turn and then focus, you know. This would be as you turn, it focuses immediately, as though you were controlling the camera itself, which is really cool to know that there will be no latency in control, no latency in movement, zero latency in focus, being able to rack focus, being able to dial back iris, things like that. It offers a whole new realm of shooting, how you shoot, and the way that production is done and the speed in which production can be done with that kind of equipment. So it's really, really great to see that kind of stuff coming out, to see the new stuff coming out for home studio solutions, be it wiring, lighting, that kind of thing, from great people like Monster, who sponsors Scott's show, Plug Hits Live, things like that, who he's teamed up with and done plenty of videos for. If you are not familiar with the Monster line, the Illuminescence line, things like that, stop on by Plug Hits Live. Check out some of their video content. They did a great series whenever the Luminescence line launched last year, on instructional videos on setting them up, integrating them, getting them to crosstalk with each other, things like that. And to see what they are doing with other lighting solutions, not only for home, but for office and studio use, like their new geometric shapes that are smoke black that'll be coming out. Oh my God, they are so beautiful. And the lighting on them is, because the smoke black, a little bit more subdued. So really cool things out there. Great solutions for both your home studio, for the professional environment, for the prosumer environment. I know Kirk was saying yesterday he was looking forward to the announcement of the new Samsung S21. It's sad. It's horrible. Because I was just looking at upgrading to an S20 like a week or so ago. I put it on my list like, hey, my phone's almost paid off, and when it comes time for a new one, that's the one I'm going to get right there. And to see that the S21's coming out already is like, oh, man, you know, what do you do? But these technologies, even the one that Todd interviewed just before I came on, I wrote it down. Where did I put it? Oh, there it is. Akinir. They were the LiDAR sensor, the millimeter wave radar sensor. That's just, wow. The applications for that technology are through the roof possibilities. And, you know, even the gentleman that we spoke with earlier with the water filtration system, or not water filtration, but water tracking system for your home. That's a big one, especially if you live here in Texas, where we are regularly under drought conditions, that kind of stuff. Like he said, Texas, it's a big place. There's a lot of land. A lot of people like having swimming pools because it gets really, really hot. And man, those things can just be a water dump, if you're not careful, especially in Texas in the heat, if you don't have proper aeration, things like that, you can really be spending a lot more in water than you expect. So to see that there are people out there with options like that available in the consumer space, things like that that start in the consumer space before they start going into the B2B, the business-to-business space, absolutely awesome. Oh, fantastic. We have our next guest, Mr. Matt Campagna. How are you today? Is it Reflection or Reflexion?
Reflection. You got it.
Fantastic. Incredible sports training service. Tell us a little bit about this. What helped you conceptualize it and what you guys are doing?
Sure. So Reflection is a visual cognitive training company. So we train visual cognitive functions for sports like peripheral vision, complex reaction time, depth perception, skills that you need as an athlete in order to perform. Just a couple of examples, whether you're a fighter trying to remember your opponent's combinations, or you're a hitter trying to judge when to swing at a fastball traveling 100 miles per hour, or you're a wide receiver trying to see a football out of your peripheral in order to line up and catch it. Visual skills are extremely important for athletic performance, and it turns out that they can actually be trained. And so at Reflection, we train those using state-of-the-art touchscreen light boards that we've developed and a cloud-based data analytics platform called Reflection. And so the way that our system works is athletes stand in front of our touchscreen-based light boards, and they're playing these gamified drills that are training those cognitive functions. And then they can see their results, see how they're progressing over time, see how they stack up against other athletes, all from our app that accesses our cloud-based backend.
That is pretty phenomenal technology. Is this something that these athletes use in their home? Do they have to go to a facility? Is it a program that they sign up for, like along the lines of Peloton, like a membership, or how does this work?
Great question. So we actually started B2B working with gyms primarily, as well as some universities and the MLB. Some of our more notable customers include Penn State, Duke, the Air Force Academy.
Oh, wow.
Just to name a few of our larger name customers. We did a study last year where we worked with the MLB and were able to correlate our performance data, our cognitive performance data, to performance on the field. And so we have a business offering meant for teams that train a lot of, gyms that train a lot of athletes. And then we also have an at-home offering called Flex that we introduced this year that actually leverages a touchscreen TV platform in order to provide the same sort of elite vision training that we offer to our business customers in your own home. And in that model, it's exactly like you mentioned. It's like any other connected fitness platform. You can purchase our Flex hardware platform, the touchscreen TV interface. And that is actually available at Dick's starting this month, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Oh, wow.
$34.99. And then we have a subscription that goes along with that. That's $49 a month.
Okay. Well, that is absolutely affordable whenever you're talking about now, is this like a proprietary tracker that you wear? Do you use a webcam? How does it go about tracking you? But for a service to begin with, $45 a month for the basics of a private trainer in your own home is next to nothing.
Yeah, so $49 a month, but the way that it works is that you're engaging with the touchscreen. So yeah, as you're doing these drills, your data gets tracked via our app, and from there we're able to tell you things like what your reaction time was, what your peripheral vision was, what your depth perception was, your working memory, and we're able to show that to you in a way that's easy to understand. We're able to compare you to other athletes, and we're able to show you how you progressed over time so that you can meet your goals on the field or the court.
Well, and that's just it. You know, like a prime example, just a similar use case, is the fact that I got a brainwave headband to start monitoring myself while I slept on the road, because I started having migraines while I was asleep. And it was like, I could either take time off the road and go do a sleep study,
mm-hmm,
and then go do another sleep study, and then go do another sleep study, or I could just record my brainwaves at night. And if I have an episode, I have a recording and I can give it to my doctor. And now I'm doing it at home. So the same way that any professional trainer would go out and have themselves like mapped for their golf swing, let's say, something along those lines, this is now something that they can do in their own home to help their own performance as an athlete, to help their own performance and track that, as well as get immediate feedback.
Absolutely. And you going back to what I said earlier, those visual skills are just so important for athletics, not only for performance, but injury prevention. There are studies that have shown that by doing sports vision training for even 6 weeks during preseason for baseball, that batting average is able to be increased by 10%. And in football, by doing the same sort of vision training, they've been able to show an 80% reduction in the incidence of concussion. So
absolutely,
skills are paramount.
Yeah, if you can see that truck coming that extra tenth of a second earlier, you can kind of prepare yourself for that impact.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's the same exact thing. You know, if you can see that ball coming earlier, you can adjust your body and maybe not overswing, pull your back out, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, that incremental betterment as an athlete, and even in so many other areas as well, especially whenever you're talking about like, hey, I've got a young kid. To be able to use this as well for young children to start working on their abilities with peripheral vision, to start working with their acuity, with reflexes, reaction, coordination, balance, all that kind of stuff, and invaluable for that kind of use, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, from our perspective, it starts at the high levels of sports. I mean, we've at this point, we've partnered with Evan Holyfield, actually, son of four-time heavyweight champion Evan Holyfield. He's been training with our technologies. He's 5-0 in his own career now. You know, we've trained Tony Kanaan, Alexander Rossi, both Indy 500 champions. And it really starts at that high level of sports, but just like strength training or any other sort of you know, training technique that came out of elite sports, eventually it trickles down and everyone's doing it for everyday wellness. And so I absolutely believe that, you know, at some point in the future, you'll see visual cognitive training in the YMCA.
Well, man. And like I said, especially whenever you're talking about the world, like I'm from Texas, Texas football, man, we live it, we breathe it, you know, to know that this technology could be leveraged in schools to help lower the incident of concussion on the field, that it could be used to help lower the incident of injury rate with kids in baseball, all kinds of stuff. Like you said, what starts with the professionals trickles down within that field. And to see that this is something that, even though it started up in that high realm, is immediately, and like you said, getting ready to be available at your local Dick's Sporting Goods store. Once again, when is that available? Where can people go right now to find it? When can they start training at home with this device and this technology?
Sure. So right now you can purchase a Flex at shop.reflection.co. That's reflexion.co. And we actually just announced the news with Dick's Sporting Goods, and it will be available on their website, not in stores right now, not yet, but on their website beginning later this month. So we'll be sharing the link to that as soon as it's available. We are Reflection on Instagram, so we're easy to find. And check out the product. We'd be happy to tell anyone more about it, and very soon it'll be at Dick's.
Well, fantastic. Congratulations on landing that. It's always great to see when new and burgeoning technologies like this get picked up early, you know, because like I said, so many various use cases for your technology, not just in the sporting field. So many use cases. So congratulations on the hard work and on the payoff. So, yeah, enjoy. Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time out of what I know is a very busy digital CES for you. And hope to see you next year at an actual booth.
Same. Thanks for having us.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Wow. just amazing stuff, man. Like I was one of those kids that went to a little bit of physical therapy for balance, that kind of thing, when I was younger. And to know that there's technology like that that can be utilized in the home, really cool stuff. Our next person up in the studio, Justin with Swidget Corp. How are you today, sir?
Doing great, thank you.
Wow, you are at a command center like me, my friend. I am always interested to talk to people that have command centers like that. Tell us a little bit about Swidget and what all of this amazing technology that you are surrounded by is all about.
Sure. Yeah, this is what COVID does to you. You have to become innovative. And what we have here is our virtual studio that we put together in September, and it was basically to demonstrate our product offering because, you know, used nice. To those in-person visits, and we can no longer do that.
Well, yeah. And I mean, fantastic job with doing so, because so many things, so many technologies like this do depend on that press of flesh at a convention booth. You know, it really is one of those seeing is believing moments. So whenever you can provide that experience for someone, it is always helpful to translate the technology in that way.
100%.
Well, tell us a little bit about Swidget, what it is that you guys do, and what that amazing machine over to your left is.
Yeah, so that's actually, we're demonstrating one of our new switches that we just developed, our ERV switch, and this is working specifically with Panasonic energy recovery ventilation system. So we were demoing that earlier today. So that's it in a nutshell. The rest of the studio is just demonstrating. So what Swidget is we're a manufacturer of modular smart devices. And so you're familiar with regular smart devices, whether it be your lighting controls or your outlets. What we've done that's different from the competition is we've separated the power components from the control components. So when you look here, you see the power device itself. That gets wired up in your home just like any other wiring device in your home. And then everything that's likely to change with the advancement of technology or other platforms, that's housed in the control insert module itself. So it's a future-proof smart device that you install once, and then as emerging technologies come out, such as Wi-Fi 6 or 5G, you can simply replace that control insert module. You don't have to worry about hiring another electrician to install that device. So the rest of the wall here shows various outlets and switches and dimming switches and appliances that are plugged into them or wired up to them, such as our lighting, that we can demonstrate how that works with our app from where you are. So we actually have this studio, and we'll give credentials to our audience, wherever they may be. We've done calls with home builders in Hawaii. I actually had a call earlier today with someone out of India, and they're able to control our studio here from their location.
Wow. Wow. And that's pretty incredible, especially like you said, with the future proof of the smart device, because one of the things that comes to bear is, of course, the replacement of things. Sure, you're replacing a smart socket now, but what about 4 years from now, like you said, when Wi-Fi 6 comes out and your phone is no longer supporting what the old platform? It'd be about like trying to do something on like a 2G antenna right now, you know, like exactly. Good luck. Not that you're stuff isn't backward compatible, but at the same time, knowing whether or not the protocols will talk back and forth, and whether it may turn your device on, but it may not control speed, may not control color of the lights, you know. It may do one function, but it probably won't do all of them.
And you're absolutely right. And there's Wi-Fi, but there's also other platforms, connectivity platforms, such as Z-Wave or Zigbee. You know, there's Alexa, there's Google, there's Apple HomeKit. Which protocol do you want to use? So with Swidget, you don't have to guess at any of that. That all of our devices, coupled with our control inserts, are capable of working with all those various platforms. So it's future-proof, it's modular. It takes away that pain point of having to guess whether my smart device is going to be relevant in 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah. And that's interesting, though, the fact that your module communicates with all those different languages. Because that's typically not the case. If you go out and buy a smart device, if you go out and buy something like that, typically it's a lock protocol. You know, you're going to be locked down to whatever that manufacturer is. Maybe if you find another LG device, you could control part of it, but you aren't going to control another company's device with that.
Yeah. And I mean, the reason why we're more open than others is, in addition to having that controllability with our control insert, we actually provide further functionality in way of you could have a nightlight, for instance. So you could have a nightlight as well as a control device, or a USB charger, a power out light. And now we just recently launched our temperature humidity motion, and our air quality sensors. So You'll be able to control your device based on some sort of sensory thing that's happening within your home. And that's where we have this ERV that we're demonstrating from Panasonic, where this can be wired up in your home's ecosystem, and we can actually trigger this to come on based on the air quality in your living space, or a temperature change, or detecting motion or occupancy because you have a group of 5 or 6 people and you want your ERV to operate in the optimum level and go into their high speed to give you clean, fresh air throughout your home.
Well, sure. Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, my dad had a house that we would go to every once in a while. And it was one of those that, like, whenever we showed up, he turned the power on, you know, because He wasn't going to just run power and run AC and things like that for absolutely no reason when we weren't there for 3 weeks, you know. So to have devices like this where you can set alarms, you can set dates via distance to turn things on, you can say, hey, okay, if the humidity gets to a certain point, start circulating the air. Don't turn the AC or the heat on. Just circulate the air so that it doesn't get stagnant and keep mold from growing. That kind of stuff. Absolutely phenomenal.
And yeah, 100%. You hit the nail on the head for like bathroom fan applications. You don't need to worry about turning the fan on or turning it off too soon. We've got algorithms built into our programs and our sensors that it'll be able to identify when the humidity has changed by an X percentage in a quick manner of time. You know what? Turn my bathroom fan on and stay on until that humidity has been dissipated. And then you don't have to worry about any mold buildup or mildew or even just simple, you know, steam building up on your mirrors.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was going to say, speaking of restrooms, one of the questions that I had just real quick, having done a little bit of home installation, things like that, are these EFI compatible? Are they like breaker compatible? Were they anything near like within 3 feet of a water has to have a UFI, you know?
So with our devices, they don't have GFI capability built into them. However, you could have a GFI breaker or a GFI outlet downstream of the device itself. So in a bathroom application, you could have a GFI, and then wired to that GFI could be a Swidget device.
Okay. So yeah, it would basically be the GFI would be the one closest, and then that would be further away on the same circuit.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Which is pretty common in a bathroom wiring situation that everything's on the same circuit to begin with. So
yeah, generally have one GFI and then downstream you'd have
exactly.
The other.
Exactly. That was just one of my initial questions right off the bat, especially seeing the location of the sensor where the GFI would typically be located.
And for that reason, that is the reason why we cannot have GFI capability within the device. The device we're using as a power supply for the various insert modules. So there's a number of other inserts that are going to be coming out, such as high definition video cameras that you can use for security, various motion sensors and capabilities to do light or daylight harvesting. So not only using smart technology where you can set up automations and scenes and rules, but you could set up a smart device with a schedule on it with a motion sensor that says, if I sense motion, turn on, but only do it if it's after sunset. Yeah. Or if there's not enough ambient light or artificial light in the room.
Yeah, That is really awesome to know that there's people like you out there developing things like this that are compatible and forward compatible is the big part. That as things will be released, it will be compatible with them. Where can everybody go to find out more about Swidget? Where can they go? Is this a product that is out on market right now? Is this a contractor only type package where it's only for home builders, or can people go buy them from your website for installing their own home?
So yes, it's at swidget.com. We're available online. So we do have our own shop, and you get to that through our website. We also sell through the electrical distribution and HVAC distribution channels throughout North America. Great. And ultimately through the home builder. So you can get it as a consumer, you can get it through a builder as a contractor as well. And also within our website at the top right corner, I believe it is, you can schedule a demo where you could actually have your own virtual meeting with me at the studio office here. We'll hand over the controls to you, and you can demonstrate how our app works and the various sensor insert modules that we have available.
Fantastic. Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming on, explaining this incredible technology that you guys have developed over there with Swidget. Take care, and we hope to see you at a booth next year.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
All right. Well, we got a few more interviews here before my time is up on this second day of coverage here with the Tech Podcast Network. Let's go ahead and bring our next guest on from Brink Biotics. Eric Lloyd, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Tell us a little bit about Brink Bionics and what it is that you guys are all about.
So Brink Bionics is a neurotech company from Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. And what we're developing is what I have on right now. This is Impulse. So Impulse is a wearable neural interface that augments or optimizes reaction time for PC gamers. So if you're playing fast-paced action games, shooters, or other RTS-type games, Impulse will grab your intentions from your peripheral nervous system off of your muscles and relay that directly to your computer as a mouse click, thereby providing up to 80 milliseconds improvement to your reaction time.
Wow! Wow! So it's basically reading the electrical impulse of your nerve before it moves your muscle.
You got it. So just as the signal reaches the muscle. So yeah, it's right at that edge. Yeah.
So you're basically shortcutting the muscular response that it takes to push the button and making that neuron fire push the button directly.
You got it.
Dude, that is awesome.
Thank you.
That has to be one of the most awesomely nerdy applications of this I've ever heard, without getting too proprietary and giving away all your dirty secrets. Let's go into this a little bit, because sure. I've literally started like driving my synthesizers back here with my brain waves, things like that. So I would love to get a glove like this to like drive control voltage on my synthesizers with my hands with gestures.
That would be like very cool.
So tell us a little bit about this technology. What brought you about to, obviously you're a gamer. I don't know anybody else that would try to short circuit the physical system of gaming other than a gamer.
Yeah, exactly. I am. I think like a lot of people my age, I've been a gamer for most of my life. So Brink Bionics started actually as a prosthetics company. Both my co-founders are world leaders in developing neural interface technology in the academic research sphere. So we started building bionic limbs with integrated artificial intelligence to make a more intuitive control system. In our time with that, developing that kind of technology, we wanted to be able to innovate on neurotech faster than we could with a medical device company. In part, because there's lots of barriers to entry for medical device companies. If you want to sell something that treats a medical condition, there's a lot of regulations you need to pass through. So we wanted to focus on a market where we could release innovations and newer versions of technology much faster without barriers to entry. So that's part of the reason we shifted from prosthetics to neurotech specifically for esports. The second one was there's a lot of companies we found that were already building prosthetics with that were affordable and had integrated machine learning. So as a team, we decided, well, we can either do the same thing everybody else is doing, or we can try and do something totally crazy and different that nobody has tried before. There's been other muscle sensor technology for consumers, but nothing that is geared so targeted at esports before. And so that's why we decided to shift to this technology.
I cannot wait until I hear about the first kerfuffle at an esports gaming con where somebody's using your device and they claim it is cheating. I can't wait. I can't wait. Like, I cannot wait until you are the controversy in the gaming world, because it's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to happen. To like, oh, that guy got the high score on Donkey Kong because of that stupid glove, man. Like, he didn't actually jump all those barrels the way he should, you know? So explain a little bit how your technology actively, I guess, reads what's going on inside of your hand. Because I think a lot of people don't realize the inductive technology that you're using to read those electrical impulses, that kind of stuff.
Sure. So with what we measure is EMG, called electromyography, and it's basically the electrical signal that manifests inside your muscle when a motor unit action potential, when a signal from your peripheral nervous system hits your muscle. There's an exchange of ions across the muscle membrane, and then you get this tiny voltage change in the muscle. And then the muscle takes time to contract enough to generate enough force to move your finger. So there's actually a delay between that electrical signal first showing up in your muscle and the finger actually moving enough, or any joint in your body moving enough to perform an action. And that time delay is what we take advantage of. So conventionally, with any type of nervous system interface, whether it's using EEG for, you know, a brain sensing headset or muscle sensor technology, the algorithms need to collect a certain amount of data over time before they can make a decision on what you're trying to do. And that could be, you know, anywhere from, you know, 50 to 300 milliseconds of data the system is waiting to collect before it decides what you want to do. Now, as you can see just from me saying that, you know, a system that waits 300 milliseconds to make a decision could never be used for gaming, because that's a third of a second delay. Yeah. So what my co-founders and I have developed is algorithms that are able to make decisions on a very small amount of data. So we can collect a few milliseconds of data, know what you're going to do within the context of gaming, and then relay those intentions to your game. So that's where our difference lies.
Wow. Wow. And I mean, the applications of this technology in various fields. I mean, the first one that comes into mind, of course, is drones.
Yeah.
Drone control, especially drone racing, that kind of stuff, where that speed and precision control is absolutely necessary. But also when you're talking about just plain old drone camera operation, that kind of stuff, where it's going to predictively send you on your path to begin with and make it a more fluid, enjoyable experience, a more fluid experience in the drone path to begin with.
Right. Neurotech's going to do that. Imagine no longer having to carry a physical controller. You are the controller. And that's why Neurotech, absolutely changes more spaces than just gaming.
Now, are you guys looking at the application of this technology in other fields? Are y'all looking at what are some of the other use cases you guys are considering?
So there are definitely, like you've said, you know, drone and robotics control use cases. As of right now, what we've learned from both my co-founders, a lot of time in academia, it's important with neurotech to really pick a direction and develop and tailor your hardware and algorithms for that specific problem. So for now, we're focused on the different problems we can solve in gaming and esports, but there are a lot of applications, basically any applications where someone is moving and needs to move more efficiently or faster, our technology can be applied.
Yeah, man. Just so many, like, my brain is a buzz right now with the applications of this stuff. So exciting to see somebody so young with such verve and excitement for something taking the reins on a project like this. How long have you guys been in development? Is this something that is currently available on the market? Are you looking for a launch anytime soon?
So, so we've been in development. Brink Bionics has been around since 2017, but we've been in development with this technology for under 2 years. We launched our Kickstarter November, December of last year, where we hit our goal and got our first pre-orders, which is really exciting. And for anybody who's missed those pre-orders, we also have an Indiegogo on-demand page up now where you can order a pre-order impulse for about another month. And that you can access that link just by going to brinkbionics.com, and that'll take you right to our Indiegogo page.
Fantastic. And what is the entry point on this item?
So right now it's $177 Canadian.
Oh, my Lord. That is nothing. That's nothing. Like a decent flight controller or driving simulator controller will set you back that much. You know, yes. Like a good set of headphones, like what you're wearing, will set you back $129. And that's just a set of headphones with a microphone, man.
Yeah.
To know that, dude, I'm getting one. I am going on to Indiegogo, and I am adapting this to control my synthesizers.
That's awesome. Yeah. Let me know how that works. That's awesome. That's a great idea.
Because that would be so much fun. Like I said, I could see so many different ways that this technology could be used and cross-platformed in different ways. So thank you guys so much for coming, bringing this to our attention. So exciting, especially when you start considering the future of robotics, the future of interface control, anything like that. This is where it's going right here.
Absolutely. I'd like to think so.
Beyond this is literally just brainware. It's wearing a band and controlling it with your mind. That's the only place it can go beyond that.
Yep.
So the fact that you guys have this control out there right now and it's available, too cool, man.
Thank you very much.
Man, you have a great rest of your CES. I'm sure that you are more than busy with this technology. I hope to see you guys at a booth next year with all kinds of tech that's being driven by this. It's going to be so much fun.
We're hoping CES is in person next year so we can get more people to try it. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come on and talk about it.
Absolutely. Take care and enjoy the rest of your digital CES experience.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow. Man, I don't geek out too often, but boy, like I think I just overcooked two of the noodles up there in the old cauldron, because man, my brain just started going to all kinds of places that I could hack that glove for. We have our next guest lined up in studio. We have Mike with Wazen. How are you doing today, Mike? Are you there?
I am here.
Oh,
thank
fantastic.
You so much.
That did I was get that pretty correct? Is it Wazen?
It's called Wazen. That's right.
All right.
And well, that last guest was really interesting, by the way.
Yeah. I see a fit with Wazen. Like, wait a minute. You're short-circuiting the physical experience of pushing a button.
That's right.
That's awesome.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the technology behind Wazen and the new things that you're doing in the world of smart doors and windows.
Sure thing. So Wazen develops technology and products that basically make doors and windows smart. Our first product is called the Wazen Slide, and it's basically an IoT device that converts your existing sliding glass door into a smart app-controlled pet door. So I've moved my office here to our family room here so we can do a little bit of a demo here. But basically, we found that existing smart dog doors where you cut holes in your wall or in your window, they cost thousands of dollars and do permanent damage, is something that we wouldn't install. And we were looking for a solution so that when we're away for the day, you know, how can I open and close the door securely for my dog? And so that's what we came up with, Wazen. And it installs pretty easily. You just pull the tape off, slide it into the door, connect the adapter there, and in minutes, you're kind of up and running.
Wow. And what kind of torque does this have? What's the weight capacity of the door that can be used with it?
Yeah, the motor's pretty strong, and we actually gate it down for safety reasons. But it'll push the door behind me is a heavy 8-foot Anderson door. So that's not really a problem. And we install in storm doors in Florida and things like that as well. So we launched the company in 2018. We did a Indiegogo and sold 1,000 really quickly there, kind of validating the product. And since then, we've been shipping for the last few months here, and we've got a lot of exciting customers about the product.
Yeah, that is absolutely awesome because, you know, I don't have dogs. I have cats, but I have family that has dogs and even my mother, and they all have dog doors. And it's one of those like living in Texas, how do you not just like wake up with a raccoon in bed with you?
Exactly.
Like you've got dog food just hanging out. That's like a raccoon's crazy dream is to just find a pile of dog food and water and just hang out. So that the power wastage that happens with the leakage through it, all kinds of things. And it somebody just popped up right now in our chat room. I need this automatic door opener in my life. Especially whenever you're talking about busy singles, stuff like that, people who may not be able to make it home in between, you know, school, work, that kind of stuff, to be able to let the dog out for literally 10, 15 minutes. You know?
That's right. As we've shipped thousands of these and we hold customer support calls to really get to know our customers and why they're using the product. There's just many, many use cases out there, including people like me who are just, you know, at home now mostly, but I'm lazy and I don't want to get off the couch or get up from supper to let the dog out.
Hey, man.
But we also have handicapped people, you know, people who are essential services that need a product because they're working, you know, 20 hours a day. So surprises happen in life and we're trying to provide freedom, you know, to reduce some anxiety for your pets and yourself.
Yeah, precisely. And I mean, like you said, the use cases of being able to handicap people, stuff like that, being people that are walker bound, being able to open sliding glass doors to their patio, that kind of stuff. Are y'all working on a swinging door version or
is it sliding only right now? On sliding right now. Okay. And we're also looking at a solution for windows because it's nice to be able to automate your windows when it's hot outside. Maybe you want to automatically open all your windows upstairs instead of turning on the air conditioner when you're not home. Several use cases there that can be energy savings, give yourself a smaller carbon footprint. So we're excited about that. And we're coming up with a pet tag solution that's going to be coming up in months here. So that you can have a specific tag for your pet to let the dog in and out of the house. Today, there's multiple ways to open it. You can use the app. You can use the motion sensor that's built into the device. You can use voice control, which I can demonstrate here in a minute. And then the pet tab will be coming out.
I guess that would be one question that I would have is is it an intelligent sensor that is looking for a certain height or something along those lines for just to keep like the cat from walking by and opening the door 25 times a day?
Yeah. The pet tag's the best solution for that, but the sensor actually is a grid and you can filter the grid down. So it's just looking at your tall dog right in front of the door.
All right.
That type of thing.
You can set your own target area, that kind of stuff far as what you're looking for. That's cool.
Yeah. And so far we've done Alexa integration, which has been really popular. I think when we released it on a Friday, by the time Monday came around, there were 20,000 utterances of people opening and closing their door with Alexa. So I think it was very liberating.
Is yours right now connected to an Alexa?
Yeah, let me step back. Hopefully you can see my door there.
See it crystal clear.
Right. Alexa, open the door.
It's like it's the not too distant future.
There you go. Yeah, I actually found with my Labradoodle, he started becoming the training me, right? And he loved that sensor and he looked for the light and he's like, oh yeah, here we go. I'm going to open the door. So when I'm at home, I actually turn that feature off and I use the Alexa.
One question of mine was just answered and that was how long does the door stay open?
There you go. Yeah, you can time that. So
there, how long does it stay open and can you change it? So
yeah, with voice assistance, it's a separate open and close command. So you can put delays in the middle. You can do all kinds of things. You could connect it to a physical button and use the button to open and close it. You can do lots with technology. So we plan on integrating more with, you know, thermostats and things like that, too, especially for the Windows product to be go ahead and open the door when it's the right temperature for you. And when I'm not home, I'll use the security camera to kind of inspect the area, let it notify me. Then I use our Wazen app to open and close the door.
I was going to say, one of the things, have y'all integrated like a Pavlovian system for the animals?
it's been thought of.
Where whenever you activate it, it goes like bing, bing, so that they know that the door is opening?
We're not there yet, but you can emit noises. And people have asked us for training capabilities, which is, you know,
something like that,
whistle to let the dog come back in. That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Something along those lines to give them the training cue that the door is open or that the door is closing. That's awesome. That is really fantastic.
Very forward thinking.
That last guest you had, you could use the hand control to open the door.
Yeah.
There's another one for you.
Yeah, exactly. And even the one that we had earlier today with the micro radar sensors, where they were working with people with in-ear phones, in-ear headphones for hand gestures, where it could, you could do that and just open the door. That'd be wild.
It's a crazy, interesting time with all the technologies converging, and the more they talk to each other, the more we'll be able to do with them.
Now, I don't want you to give away anything proprietary. I don't want you to talk about anything that you can't, but what can we expect to see from Wazen between now and CES next year?
I can give you a short video if I can share my screen to kind of give you an idea of things we're working on.
Yeah, we've got about a minute and a half left in our interview, so go right ahead.
Okay, let me give this a try here.
As long as there's no copywritten music, things like that in there.
No, it's silent. Okay. We're going to be successful here.
There we go.
You got that out okay?
Ooh, on a Mac too. Congratulations. Those are normally security ridden.
Yeah. So first thing in process, that's our pet tag. We designed it to be elegant, waterproof, small enough where it'll fit on any size dog's collar, kind of stay on the way. It'll be battery powered, last for months. We want to make things really simple, elegant, and complement the product we built. The next piece that we're looking into is, this is kind of a proof of concept for Wazen for Windows, because our technology has artificial intelligence to learn your specific door, and that technology works for Windows as well. This is actually a door unit put in a window. And kind of going forward, we're looking at embedded systems. So this is an existing door out of a Home Depot, and we've got an embedded capability to place that on top of, inside the door. So it would have an access panel, open the door fully, use it for all kinds of use cases there.
You know, just out of curiosity, especially for the window units, things like that, have you considered making it to where it can be like a fully reversible bar that secures that secures the window as well?
Yeah, and that's actually how it works for the door. When it's closed and it's engaged, that's acting like a steel bar. So it's actually stronger than my door lock. That's when I want to not use it at all, I can just flip the Wazen out of the way and it tucks itself away. So
that's fantastic, because things like that are so important, especially whenever you're talking about large entrances. And easily accessible entrances like that.
Yep. You know? Very, very, very true. Yeah. Security is huge, and we put a lot of time into the technology security as well as the security and safety of the door. It'll back off if it sees obstruction, and it's not going to hurt anything in the process of closing. So.
Yeah. Well, fantastic stuff. I am so glad to see people thinking about considerations like this for smart home use. So thank you so much. Tell everybody where they can go to get their Wazen and where they can go to keep up with all the latest that you guys are coming out with for their home.
Yeah, you can find us, as you'd expect, at wazen.com, and we have a you can buy all the products on there, and there's a blog there, and if you want to talk to somebody in person, go to our support page, and we're happy to talk to you online or on a call.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your digital CES, and we hope to see you live and in person next year.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, we got about 15 minutes left in my share of the coverage today. We have had some fantastic guests, some great technology. That is the second door opening device that I've seen in our tenure so far. Over the last couple of days, whenever I haven't been on air, I've been here in the studio just programming websites, editing things like that, and listening in the background. So it's nice whenever you do not see like an oversaturation of things. Sometimes we tend to get a lot of the same submissions, that kind of stuff. So to see the fact that both of the companies that are doing that are focusing on different markets, they're focusing on different products, they're focusing on different ways to use and incorporate the products into life, is really fantastic. Like I said, to see competition is great, but to see so much of something kind of makes you worried about some of the prospects. That to me is when you start getting a lot of the cheaper versions, that kind of stuff. Whenever you start seeing like 88, because at that point, the only way you can stand out with a product as opposed to being unique is the price point at that point. And then it becomes boutique and price point, and they become a disparate difference. So really, really cool solutions for single people out there that are going to school, stuff like that, to be able to let pets in and out of their home, be able to help elderly in and out of their home. And some of the other stuff that we've seen, I liked the fluid learning concept that we were discussing earlier. Like I said, I have a young son, and while I try to limit his time on a tablet, anything like that, he's about 3.5, getting ready to be 4 in June. So I try not to give him a whole lot of tablet time and like just stick him on a tablet, but to see him with learning games, to see him with like ABC Mouse, having never laid eyes on it, never seen it, and to see him, or the Hungry Caterpillar game is like his jam. He loves that game. And my wife can't even figure out like, what am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do? And he just sits there and plays the game and figures it all out. So really wild. Hey, we have Danielle.
Hey. How are you?
Speaking of students, there we go. We have great ways for you to open your door whenever you are not there. We just talk to them. Good stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, what were some of your favorite things that you had on the show today so far?
Brink Bionics. I really geeked out on hard. Like that's one that I bookmarked. While there were a couple that I bookmarked to talk about and talk with on my other podcast, and then a couple where it's like, ooh, I want to go check out their tech and see if I can get one. But Brink Bionics, you'd probably be into this being a gamer. Things like that. They have actively come up with a glove that shortcuts your nervous response.
Okay.
So imagine being able to get an 80 millisecond jump on pushing the jump button.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically they've got a glove that you will program certain sensors to control certain buttons on your game. And it will predictively, as you go to flex that muscle where you would normally right click, it will right click for you before your muscle gets the electrical signal to click.
So it's just automatic. It'll do it right then, almost when you're thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause there's the like, hey, let me think about clicking. Okay. And then, I'm going to click.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah. It shortcuts your nervous message between your nerves and the muscle. And
that's incredible.
So I was like, I cannot wait until you guys are the cause of controversy at a gaming convention.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're not like, wrong.
These guys were using an accelerator glove. They were going 30 milliseconds faster than everybody else. You know, like I cannot wait for that nerdy kerfuffle to happen. Like,
no, I can like, totally see that. That's crazy.
I was like, you're going to be in some controversy headlines in gamer magazines within the next 2 years.
Yeah, like, I love how you call me a gamer. I mean, the most I game is like Animal Crossing. So if I need to go a little faster in Animal Crossing, this is great.
Hey, man, like you can get all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I remember whenever we
it'll know when I need to fish.
Last year, you were all about the Pokemon Go. Stuff like that. You were doing the Pokemon.
I do like the small games. I'm not very much into like the Call of Duty or you know, the sports game.
Gaming.
Yeah.
I unfortunately had to get it was a choice for me between what you see behind me and gaming.
And we saw your choice.
Unfortunately, I've inherited some of my family's tendencies toward arthritis, things like that. So whenever I game, it's one of those, I love gaming. I love it. But I can spend about 20 minutes before my hands are literally like this for like an hour afterward.
And it's I get one of that. Those,
like, even whenever I go to record guitar or something like that. I'm normally like slathering my wrists with like Icy Hot beforehand so that I can play guitar for an hour and record without it hurting.
For me, and I know that I speak for me and Dave in the back, but basically I get like this really bad motion sickness where like if the camera on the game doom is moving sickness. Too quickly, then
doom sickness. That was a big thing with kids whenever I went to college in like the 90s when Doom came out, because that was the first interactive shooter that included motion.
Yeah, and I know that Dave as well, because both of us will sit there and play a game and then we'll just get really sick and we'll have to turn it off after probably half an hour of playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It can be very disorienting. And even to see some of the technologies that I talked with today, there was a guy who came on who has a home trainer that helps train people with reflexes, peripheral vision, all that kind of stuff for sporting. So even using that kind of stuff within the digital gaming realm, you know, to work on peripheral vision, that kind of thing. Really interesting.
Yeah, the VR definitely gets me too.
Yeah, most definitely. And I mean, some of the solutions out there, like the wireless controller that Scott was in. Was it Scott or was it you? I think it may have been Scott that had it.
I believe so.
Yeah. There's been a lot of coverage already over the last day. So, it was one thing to walk around and absorb it all, you know, because you're walking around and you're absorbing and there's a lot. Mm-hmm. But man, just sitting here and programming and listening, there's a lot.
There is a lot. There's less time in between what's happening as well. Like when you're walking around, you have like all the visuals of like, okay, there's this booth over here and then I'm walking down and then there's this booth over here and you have like all the visuals going on with that. Here it's like rapid fire.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. It is. It really is. So it can be a little wearing and it can definitely be a little overwhelming sometimes with just the vast amount of tech that we get to absorb within the hour or so that we are on air.
Definitely.
So, well, I'm going to let you go ahead and take over. Enjoy the rest of the broadcast day. I will enjoy the rest here in my studio. And take care, guys. Thank you so much. So long for the day from Talking Sound. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast. For more episodes, industry news, and information, visit us online at TalkingSoundPodcast.com. Subscribe to the Talking Sound Podcast on Amazon Audible, Spotify, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, or your favorite podcast service. Get the latest Talking Sound videos on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Reach TV, or your Roku or Amazon Fire device with the APR TV app. Talking Sound is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great shows and content, subscribe to HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Until next time, watch those meters, gig safely, and keep reaching for 11.
This is Talking Sound.